This is PFW in Progress.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is with the distinct pleasure of the management to present to you the Evening Star attraction. Here we are, back after their exclusive 3-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent. Won't you welcome
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? 3 orange whips.
Paul Perillo.
Got any fried chicken?
Best damn chicken in the state.
Bring me 4 fried chickens and a Coke.
You want chicken wings or chicken legs?
4 fried chickens and a Coke.
And some dry white toast, please.
And Andy. And Andy?
It wasn't my fault, honest. I ran out of gas. I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My tux didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car.
Andy Hart.
There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Look, it wasn't my fault. I swear to God.
Some guy named Tom.
Are you the police?
No, ma'am. We're musicians. We're on a mission from God.
And you never know. Lori might stop by.
Well, how? What can I get you boys? You thirsty? You hungry? Or you just driving through? Maybe like a beer or something a little harder?
No, thank you, ma'am. We may be sucking back a few beers a little later on. We'll be here all night. You see, we're the band.
PFW in Progress.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress here on the off-season Wednesday schedule. Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, and Paul Perillo with you until 2 o'clock, taking your calls and emails. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. Phone number 508-543-7482. But, you know, most people like to email on this show. We've already got a few, and we'll get to them. But, guys, it's Wednesday, and I just wanted to say right off the bat, this marks the first day we will be available via podcast. So after the show, once the techie people do what they have to do, later on today, I assume the show will be available for downloading on your mobile device. So that's pretty cool. You asked for it, you got it.
All right.
You know?
That is exciting.
And you can subscribe to it. So you don't even need to literally, you know, go and down. If you subscribe to it, when you sync up your mobile device, it'll automatically go to your device every week. So that's cool. And that's just the beginning of all the new content.
I have absolutely nothing to say about that.
I was going to say, if I knew what you were talking about at all, Fred, I'd chime in. But
that's all right. You guys just supply the content. We'll have everyone else use it. But that's just the beginning of all the new stuff that we're going to make available. We got the prospect report. What is it, every Tuesday?
We're going to have the draft. Yeah, the draft report.
Draft report every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday, and a roster rundown.
A Patriots roster report every Friday.
So it'll be starting soon.
Yeah.
Soon.
Going to have a lot of good stuff. Andy and Tom have already got their reservations for the combine. Are you guys all set with that, by the way?
Well, we're going to get there. We just don't know if we're going to get home.
Why?
Because we're taking like a rowboat back from New York.
Freaking turboprop.
You got us on one of those Buddy
Holly
planes.
I don't like the sounds of that.
I might.
Oh, you guys, unbelievable.
I might be getting picked up.
I mean, if you want to, you can walk or take.
I'm getting picked up, maybe.
Okay, fine. I don't care.
Hey, this organization don't want to ante up for a real plane. I'll take the ferry, baby.
I don't love the idea of the turboprop. I mean, I'm not getting a ride, but.
Come on. I took a little propeller plane over the Rockies once. It's not a big deal. Come on.
Not until it crashes.
I know, but it was only a few months ago where I didn't even want to board a plane. Now you got me on a Buddy Holly looking plane.
See how far you've come, Tom? Now you're ready for the next step.
I know, but I was on a plane that seated 300 people, not one that seats 10.
Next year, I'm going to have
two of which were Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, people that are very important and aren't
right,
going to be put on some crappy plane.
If Tom Brady wants to get on the turboprop with me, I'll feel.
Next year, I'm going to have you hang glide to Hartford, okay? All right, webradio at patriots.com.
Wait,
is the
don't have hotel rooms, though. Are you taking care of that?
Yes, you do. Nancy Meyer got you the hotel room.
Oh,
you're
so all we're all set.
Yeah. I gave her the day you're coming in and the day you're out. But, you might want to send her an email, check on that. Fred asked me to double check, make sure we're all set. But
are we sharing a room? Or
I didn't ask for it. I asked for separate rooms for you guys.
First class all the way.
So that you guys can do what you have to do. You know?
We both have digestive problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's, you know. So you should be all set.
We're going to be eating a lot.
Somebody's stepping a duck.
You have the schedule of running backs of Thursday, I think.
Thursday and Friday.
And Friday.
Split over the 2 days, yeah. It's mostly offense Thursday, Friday.
So what are you going to be offering people from the combine on Patriots.com?
Everything and anything. We get. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Andy, didn't you have kind of a little rundown as to what you wanted to do?
Well, the idea I'm going in with is that each of us will do a single story per day on something related to the people that are available and how that ties into the Patriots. You know, the running backs, Lendale White, something on him. Try to talk to people, see how it's starting to unfold, if he's going to be available, blah, blah, blah.
See who spoke with the Patriots. And
right, that, kind of,
that
thing.
Kind of thing.
And then after that, just a hodgepodge notebook every day.
Yeah,
combined
what's going on there?
Just,
yeah.
You know, we saw Drew Rosenhaus in the
right,
lobby, and he just,
exactly.
You know, quick hitters.
People
and
like that.
The fact that we're there, and we're your eyes, and we'll tell you what we saw.
Got it. I like it.
That's
that,
the point.
That was Andy's plan from the start. I liked it, and I gave it to Paul Perillo.
Now, in addition to that,
it's good to have the Fred Kirsch stamp.
Sure, in addition to that, NFL Network will be feeding us video.
Right.
So we'll play that on Patriots.com.
Boy,
since
you guys are now in charge of everything that's going to happen on the internet, maybe you'd like to write the updates for the rest of the week.
No, you're good.
You're
doing a fine job.
Wow. You're doing a really nice job with that. I don't know if
I
don't know if you saw
about,
this, Fred,
yeah,
but
yeah.
We got an Ask PFW talking about the Senior Bowl recap by Tom Casale, and I think it, in a word, awesome. I think was what the
yeah.
And I didn't even have that person write in.
I actually watched the start of it last night.
Did you?
And then I fell asleep.
Senior
but
Bowl?
I did see his boy drop like the second pass of the game when it hit him in the chest.
O'Hagan?
Yeah.
See, all I saw was the highlights.
And it was on time because they're talking about him, a guy that maybe needs to step up a little, had a lot of drops
right.
in practice, boom, one bounces off
agreed.
His chest.
You know it was agreed by everybody down there that he had a very bad week.
Yeah.
And you know that I wasn't necessarily not my boy because I knew anything about him. I only
no,
I
referenced
only,
him.
But only because I saw your the boy. Highlights and he scored a touchdown.
Well, the lowlights, one hit him right between the numbers and bounced off.
Right. Well, I didn't see that. Because they don't show that stuff on
right.
ESPN.
I didn't watch the president. You got the Roy Williams treatment on ESPN.
I can't believe you didn't watch the president.
I didn't watch.
Did
the president
he mention? Did he
time.
Mention the words health insurance?
Are you
does,
ready
I'll
for some football?
It. What did he do? Talk about Iraq? Who gives a damn?
You mentioned health insurance.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Are we going to a war with Iran?
Probably.
That's tremendous.
Hey, Bush is on. He's talking about Iraq. No kidding.
I read a story that oil's going to go over $90 a barrel if that happens. You know, so my commute will now cost me hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars a week.
We got to get off our foreign oil dependency. Got to get off of that.
Yeah, and when you offer me an alternative, fine, but...
Okay.
I didn't watch, Fred.
Right now you just asked me to freaking bend
it's
over
just
and
the
take
same
it.
Thing.
This country needs is a leader who speaks clearly.
Right.
It's generally one of the few times...
He didn't see the movie, by the way. But he does like ranching.
It's generally one of the few times that I pay attention to anything political is the State of the Union address, but I couldn't do it last night.
Did you watch The American Idol?
No.
Yes. No, that I watched.
I like that. That's a good show.
Now that I watched.
Nope. I was actually watching.
When are they
going to
have the Gillette Stadium part
no, no, no,
on
not
that,
the movie,
Gary?
Seacrest, out.
CW2
Tuesday, or something has it on?
Yeah. I think it's an inside track. It'll be next week.
Next week is Gillette Stadium
yeah, it's
on The American Idol. So.
But you know, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of
well, but,
Gillette
No, but
Stadium.
You can see that they're there, you know, from when the hallway shots and stuff.
Maybe we'll be on.
Be right
remember
here.
They were all lined up out here
yeah,
while we
were all lined
show,
out right outside.
But my point is, I think what they actually show on American Idol on TV is... When you audition in front of right. Simon, Paula, and Randy.
Exactly.
They weren't here.
Well, no. They'll show like the aerials and stuff. No, they weren't. They were in Boston.
They were in Boston.
Were. Hotel.
You had to make it through Foxborough to get to Boston.
But they'll show the stadium.
See, now this
yes,
is how I...
No,
wait.
They will definitely show the stadium.
Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is how I thought it worked. They have all these
Seacrest.
Audition booths set up all over Gillette Stadium. Then I thought that they pulled interesting people to
no.
audition in front of them.
I brought them back to Boston.
I thought it was going to be in Foxborough. This is
they pulled the winners from outside, actually, into this room that's right out here.
Yeah.
Lined up.
From there,
checked them out.
Some of them made it into Boston to try out.
Well, you know, then this is really phony then because...
No, everywhere it shows. It's not at the stadium. It's in a hotel.
No, I know, but the people... Some of the people that get in front of those three, they're completely
they're awful.
Right.
It's a TV
so it's
show.
A gag.
Right.
They're getting them.
It's a TV show.
And that's what they do.
They do that
on
purpose.
What it is.
I have no problem with that. I watch it to be entertained.
Yeah, I
watch
it. To be honest with you, I will not watch it after this
right.
this level. I mean, I don't really care about you know the
wins,
finalists and
yeah.
who wins and all that crap. you know, who the audience votes for. I don't have any interest in that. But it's funny to watch people get up there and think they're really good at something, and in reality, they sing like I do.
All right, let's talk.
Tom
about
was going to audition, you know, if it was if he
really?
Was here. He wasn't here in time.
You're a good singer.
Oh no, terrible.
Yeah, well,
there's also
sing as one of those goofs. He might have gotten through. He
there's
was going to say
some,
she blinded me with science.
Some talk of a Patriots today. Gillette Stadium, American Idol.
That's
contest.
True. Good cross promotion there, Andy.
Really?
That could be in the works with such local celebrities as Andre Tippett and IT guy Paul Concannon getting in the act.
Possibly Bob Doyle, producer
okay.
of Patriots Video News.
All right. I
believe it's in the works.
Okay.
Bob Doyle said he would only do it if she got six other people. Lori. She had six other people to do it.
Lori.
She has a list of like 10 now, so Bob Doyle might be suckered into doing
Bob
it.
Bob Doyle's a fraud.
Whoa!
He only said that so people would beg him to do it. Like, Lori couldn't get five people to do it, so he just wanted everyone to beg
Are
him to do it.
Are you doing it?
They tape me. I don't
now
know.
He already did it.
You already did it?
Yeah.
What'd you blinded think? Me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Science!
Then I sang Safety Dance.
You're a loser. All right, let's get to some Patriots. What's going on in the land of the Patriots? We have no idea about any free agent movement. We know that Bill Belichick's going to be at the Super Bowl.
It hasn't started yet. That's basically why it hasn't
did, there'd be
no,
problems.
You can re-sign your own guys, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Now's your
That's
time.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what so we have no idea about Seymour or Givens or Vinatieri or any of these guys right now.
Oh, Seymour's not a free agent.
No.
He's also
but,
not a
but
pro
But they need to sign him to an extension, correct?
They don't need to.
Well, he wants them to.
Could let him go into potential uncapped year as a free agent. Good luck with that.
Yeah, we'll see.
No, the news
be,
of the week.
To
Brady,
be honest with you, Fred, in the Seymour, sorry, Andy, it may not be in Seymour's best interest right now to sign an extension, depending on what happens with the CBA and all that right. stuff, because right now the team could only prorate the contract over 4 years. Regardless of how long it is, because of that whole uncapped situation
that's
still
looming.
It's a good
subject we should bring up.
And if you know, and if that's the case, then obviously the team's not going to be able to give him the signing bonus that probably Richard wants. So it may not be in his best interest to sign a you know a long term extension right
you
now.
You can tweak that.
Well,
I know you
give him a roster bonus in the second year, assuming that the CBA
exactly.
The owners just came back from Florida. A little quickie meeting that they had. Of course. The main topic was this whole CBA and what are they going to do with the collective bargaining agreement and the shared revenues versus unshared revenues and whether or not they're going to raise the cap. And my moles say it wasn't too good.
Really?
Yeah, I think that these...
So it's being portrayed as being moving along and getting closer and closer. Is that not accurate?
Well, I think what's accurate... What I've read is that they all realize we got to get something done by March. We can't not have this happen and then have 2007 become an uncapped year. Neither side wants this. The problem is the owners themselves. It's not the owners and the Players Association. The Players Association are just waiting for the owners to propose how they're going to raise the cap.
So the much ballyhooed solidarity within the owners is not exactly there?
No, it's within the owners. That's what's holding it up.
And is that a division between large market, small market, or?
That's some of it, but that doesn't tell the whole story. It's those that are willing to share for one reason versus those who aren't.
Old school, new school, maybe?
Yes, you know, and taking, you know, there's certain revenues right now that aren't shared. How much of those go into the shared pot? And, you know, it was alluded to in Pro Football Talk about this whole new network thing, now having the games, eight games or 8 weeks of games on the network. I think that could be the way that the owners get this done, is offering this as the extra revenue that we can give to the players. And I think even the owners that don't want to share more will say, well, you know, it's not money I have now anyway. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
So this could be the ace in the hole that hopes, you know, gets them over the hump. But they've got a ways to go within the owners to get this thing.
Because there was some talk that it was getting so close, but if they didn't get it done, they could actually move the free agency date a little bit, that March 3rd.
Well, right. Tactically,
if they got it done, like, say, in the middle of February, they were thinking about maybe extending the start of free agency a week so they could further explain the changes and make sure that all the agents, the players, everybody was on the same page
and understanding
the new rules.
Even if, like, let's say next week they did agree, they'd probably still want to do that.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, they got to disseminate all the new.
I mean, the thing is, how old and now, all, and we still see, you know, agents like the Postons making mistakes with it.
Right.
You know, who was the guy? Was it Michael Hug? The guy, did he make a mistake with someone in San Francisco, I want to say.
Well, Terrell Owens didn't file on time.
Terrell Owens was a,
you know.
Yeah, it's not the one I was thinking of.
There was a guy in Cleveland, too, wasn't there? Kevin Johnson?
Northcutt.
Dennis Northcutt.
Northcutt was one. Yes, you're right.
Anyway, so that's a big deal because, you know, teams and agents don't know what to do. They don't know how to structure these contracts until they know whether 2007 becomes a... Well,
that's going to affect everything because the later you push free agency back, that all affects the draft.
But the way...
You know, who you go out
the way I see it is if I had to get something done, I'm an agent and an owner, let's have two versions. Version A is if they get this thing done. Version B is if they don't. You know?
Yeah, I mean... But the problem is... that's a possibility, but that's hard.
If you do version B and you're Reggie Wayne and you can only get a certain amount of money... Well, you've lost out on money because the next crop of free agents has the new CBA that, therefore, the signing bonus is extended over X period of time.
And some of these things are hard enough to work out with only one scenario.
That's
now
true.
You're spending time
true.
Scenario A, scenario B.
Right.
Why don't you kind of explain what you were telling us yesterday about the NFL Network and how that might impact the money? I mean, you touched on it just now, but...
Well,
how that could maybe benefit the owners
right now,
and the players.
Before this all happened, all the network deals, all that money that is paid to the league by the networks is shared revenue. Every one of the 32 teams shares that equally. It doesn't matter. You could be in the smallest market in the world. You get the same amount of money as the Dallas Cowboys or the New York Giants for the network. Okay, so that's a set amount of money. That's where most of these teams get their money. Then there's other shared revenues like tickets and other things that every team shares equally. Then you have these non-shared, which is a luxury suite, and that's kind of the bone of contention lately is that the newer stadiums have more of this unshared revenue, and it's not fair to teams that don't have stadiums or teams who are in smaller markets and so on. So that's all what they're dealing with. Now you got this new thing where, you know, they were trying to sell the Thursday and Saturday packages, and I guess Comcast was one of the biggest bidders, and they were going to pay like $300, $400 million for that package of games. And I guess the league didn't think that was good enough, so they decided, okay, we're going to keep those games ourselves. Now, that means that the league has control of those games, and they will sell the advertising to those games. So it won't go to any network. Now, I don't know how much they're going to expect to make. They probably won't make as much as what Comcast was willing to give them.
So when you say Comcast, what would happen if you had a different cable provider?
You're out of luck.
Right. So they would just be on Comcast?
What you'd have to do is you'd have to deal with Comcast. Comcast would have to license the game to, let's say, Cox. Cox would have to go to Comcast on their hands and knees and say, okay, what is it going to cost for us to get your games on Thursday and Saturday night? Which is maybe another reason why the NFL didn't do it.
Cox is pretty big in Rhode Island,
you know,
right?
It's one thing to do a deal with ESPN, which is basically in the basic tier of cable.
Right.
Anybody that has cable has ESPN, or of course CBS, NBC. You know, everybody has those, but not every. Comcast is different. They're a carrier.
Yeah.
They're not a network.
If I still lived in New York and that happened, I'd probably show up at the NFL office with a bomb strapped to me.
Well,
like that's how mad I would be.
I mean, well, that may be one of the reasons why they didn't
do
it, because they're afraid of guys like Tom Casale. So they're going to keep these games themselves, and whatever advertising they can make from that now is the NFL's. Well, in the current CBA, there's no provision in there for if the league starts a network, then any revenues from that network go into shared revenue and go to the cap. So the league could say, hey, you know what? That's not shared revenue, and that's not going to go, you know, to the Players Association to raise the cap. That's the league's money. But they could say, hey, even though it's not part of the existing CBA, we'll put it in there as a token of good faith and share that revenue. You know, just like now, I think 68% of all revenues go to the players. We'll do that. 68% of all the revenue from these games will now go to the players. And that, in effect, will raise the cap. So Dallas can't complain, hey, you're taking it away from my luxury, from the hard work that I've done in my market. You're not taking that money away from me. Okay, so they have no complaint there. And then the little guys are saying, well, you know, I can't make that money, you know, because I'm in a little market. so they won't be affected. This is kind of found money.
Well, do we know for sure that's not included?
Yes. Okay. Well, no, I don't know for sure.
I was wondering
what
how
I read.
It's worded. I mean, if it's worded as just the revenue from television. No. The revenue from the televising of games.
Right.
Well, then that's still revenue from televising the games. Well, just because it's not NBC buying the rights and it's a different way of getting the money.
Yeah, so I don't know for sure. It
could be touchy wording
in there. But see, it's one thing to sell the product and get a licensing fee from NBC, but this is not a licensing fee.
No, it'd be
the ad revenue.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't know how much money.
And it would be hard to tell how much is from the games and how much is just from the network itself.
Yeah, you don't know that, you know?
That's become beyond just the NFL, that's become a huge issue. I was reading about the Yankees, because the Yankees, when they reported that they quote-unquote lost $60 to $80 million last year, they didn't, because they reported zero for ad revenue on the YES Network. And you know that they had ads on the network that were paid for by people.
How can they do that?
Well, apparently it's going to become an issue.
Okay.
It's a shady,
so what they did is they probably, any of these advertisers, bought a big package. And, you know, it included what tickets or, you know, whatever, signage.
But if you're the Yankees, you can say...
And then the value add was advertising zero.
Right. You can say they bought ad time on our network. They didn't buy ad time during the game, the broadcast rights. So if I believe I heard that the Yankees did some shady thing where they said the YES Network paid like $1 for the right to broadcast Yankees games. Then they reported no ad revenue.
Well,
so it's easy to hide money that way. Although you might want to try to cover it up.
I don't want to bore you guys or our listeners with this whole thing, but these content relationships and license, this is going to be a big, big issue in the next couple years, because now the content is available anywhere.
Right.
You know, you can download it, you can watch it on your iPod, you know, you can do it on demand on your TV, so it's no longer, I have to be there at 4 o'clock to watch the game. For the NFL, that is the case right now, but not for Lost or Survivor or any of those shows. You can watch anytime you
and
want.
I know a lot of fans are interested in this. You believe after this next contract that cable will be allowed to provide the NFL Sunday ticket?
Oh, I believe so. Yeah, absolutely. The ability to watch any game you want within that window.
Right.
They've got to allow that.
You should be able
I couldn't believe that they re-signed with DirecTV this past time, because I thought for sure, here we are 2004, 2003, it was going to go to cable.
Yeah. See, the problem is, though, you know, the only thing they have to watch out for is ticket sales. You know, they want sold out stadiums. You know, so they want people to have to go to watch the game in the stadium. So they'll probably, the problem with that is, you know, all right, let's say you live in Cincinnati and, you know, you don't want to go to the game and Cincinnati is blacked out because they didn't sell out. But now I'm sitting at home, I can watch any game I want. You know, so that's the thing that they have to worry about is ticket sales. You know, you don't want.
Well, how do they do that with DirecTV? Don't they black out the game if it's not sold out in Cincinnati?
They do that. You know, but I think they figure with DirecTV, it's only in like 10 million homes or something like that. It's still small enough where it won't affect ticket sales.
Oh.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So that's the problem. I mean, you know, the whole blackout rule, that's something they still have to worry about. You know, there's still this territorial protection of the market. Like, for example, there's like this 70-mile rule. Like, the Patriots can't go into New York and start marketing the Patriots.
Right.
We can't do that. It's a rule. You know, and so how does it work where if you're in Cincinnati, you can watch any team you want? You know, how does that hurt the Bengals?
Well, that was we got an email asking about, in terms of they're going to offer the NFL Network games on regular over-the-air TV
in the local market.
So what does that mean for in the market?
Well, it's the same thing now. If your game's on Sunday Night Football on ESPN and it's a New England Patriot game, your local affiliate has to be able to hold.
But Channel 5. The question is, what is the local?
It's only Channel 5
now
in Boston.
Now, in Boston, we know that's ABC Channel 5, WCVB. It would be on Channel 5.
Right.
But what if you're in, like, Springfield
or
Providence, Connecticut or Maine?
Or wherever.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, and for example, the local affiliate of ESPN is always the ABC affiliate.
Right.
But who is the affiliate when it's
NFL
on the
network? Right. I don't know.
You know, is it CBS?
Well, but I'm not.
I'm not
even talking about
that. I don't
know. I'm talking about what is the they say the local market will get
What's the local market?
What is the parameters of the local market?
New Hampshire,
does that count like Augusta, Maine?
That's another good question. I mean,
I'm not necessarily asking what station it'll be on. Will it be on another station?
Like
the ESPN game, is it on ABC in Maine? Because they don't do that around the country.
Well, the thing is,
we get emails a lot,
you know, sometimes like Western Mass,
right.
For example. You would think, oh, that's New England. And it is New England.
The game that was on Fox, the New Orleans game.
Right, it was a choice.
Was on Fox, so they didn't have to put that game on in Springfield because it wasn't considered the market.
That's right,
and they didn't. They put the Giants on or something
right.
like that.
Right,
and they were up in arms.
The networks, the local affiliates have been able to make the call when it comes to that.
That's what I'm wondering is, I think that's what your question was, right? Because I had the same question in terms of when I read that Ask PFW is, I don't know what it would be in, say,
That's a really good question, and I know as the Patriots, we'd like, if it's New England, it's our market.
Right.
But technically, it's not.
Right.
Technically, it's not.
So I
mean, and that's why,
for example,
the Comcast thing that we got so much bad publicity for, or emails anyway, when we took, Brian Lowe's Patriots Video News, we got all those emails.
Now it's Brian Lowe's Patriots Video
News. I have Comcast. I live in New Hampshire, northern New Hampshire. I have Comcast. Why can't I get the on-demand? Because of that 70-mile
rule.
That 70-mile rule didn't allow us to put our Patriots programming outside of 70 miles of the stadium. So we could be in southern New Hampshire if they have Comcast. And let's say if Northern Rhode Island had Comcast, we could be there. They don't. But it was just simply a geography thing. We couldn't. Even though people had Comcast in Hartford, can't be in Hartford because it was outside of 70 miles.
What do you think of that rule?
Well, in some ways it's good, but, it hurts a team like the Patriots who, north of us, there's no teams. There's never going to be a team.
Yeah, I don't like the rule in general, that's a good point. For a reason to strike against that rule, but even if it was available for anybody who had Comcast, if I'm in Omaha, Nebraska, and I have Comcast cable, and I have on demand, I should be able to. If I want to watch the Patriots on demand, I should be able to.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you're catering to a very small percentage, but any team is free to make the deal the Patriots did with Comcast. Correct.
What you're arguing is the Daniel Snyder, Jerry Jones argument.
I would agree with it.
Every team should be able to compete anywhere, anyhow.
I agree.
And then you get the little teams like, and they're not really little, but the Cardinals or the Bengals, and saying, I don't have the resources to spend on developing this program.
You're talking about teams that don't want to spend any money. Yeah. Now, that's different because the Patriots are a little team, and they're on Comcast.
Like, what prevents the Cardinals in Arizona with Comcast from making the same deal that you did?
Cheap.
Nothing.
Nothing, other than the lack of initiative to go out and do
it. Well, that's the argument.
And wouldn't this fall under the whole, if people are watching the NFL, it's good for the whole league?
That's
if the guy's watching the Patriots in Nebraska,
that's another good
point,
because that's what this league is supposed to be based
on. Right.
Right. Well, you know,
what's good for one is good for all.
I think things are changing. But remember, a lot of these rules were made when ticket sales were much more important than they are now. At the same time, you don't want half-empty stadiums.
So is that why when they came out with the Dallas Cowboy channel, they could only show it in Texas? They couldn't show it like here?
And now they can't even have it. They shut it down. They shut them and the Falcons down.
I just think that, like Andy said, that would be good for the league. You figure all the Cowboy fans around the country, if you had a channel, and I mean, if you're in South Dakota,
what do you want
to watch it, who cares?
And here's the contradiction. We're going to launch Patriots TV or Patriots Viewer on Patriots.com. Little inside information. It's going to have all kinds of content. It's not going to have the game. It's going to have a lot of stuff that we aired on our Patriots Today show, a lot of stuff we aired on Patriots All Access, new content that we develop, you can download that anywhere in the world.
Right.
And now you can watch it on your iPod. And by the way, you can plug your iPod into your TV and watch it on your TV.
Right.
So, what's the difference? There is none.
Right.
And that's where the NFL kind of needs to really sit down and think about this long and hard. Which direction?
I think it's short-sighted
on
the NFL's part, because I think that the NFL should be concerned with viewers, period.
Right.
Not Cardinals viewers or Cowboys viewers or Patriots viewers.
Right.
NFL fans we have, the better.
Where do you draw the line at this communism? Because
I mean, the NFL Network is the league's network. So does that mean they have to spread their coverage equally among the 32 teams? They're not allowed to do more on the Patriots, who are 14-2?
Right.
They should give equal coverage to the Arizona Cardinals. It's the NFL channel.
That's true. Yeah.
And you can't, you know what? You can't just make people be fans. People don't like the Cardinals. That's just the way it is.
You know what? If the Cardinals go 14-2, they'll like them. They'll have fans.
Exactly. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you have the success, the Patriots were in that situation. Were the Patriots any better off than the Cardinals are right now 15 years ago?
My God.
Way worse.
This is now 12 years.
There was no stadium.
You know,
they're building
going
a
around
in
the
Super
country.
Bowls.
I can remember not too long ago going into pro shops on the road and never, ever seeing Patriots gear.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
I remember that when you're a little kid and those magazines and it says, like, you know, 12 teams offered.
Yeah.
Fat chance getting the Patriots as one of those 12.
Now every other commercial's got a Patriot.
Right.
Brady's everywhere. Belichick, you know, now people are sick of them.
Now if we could just get people to actually believe that they were a good team and give them respect, we'd have it all.
But, you know, it you got to work for it. And that's some of the it's you have to be a complete freaking idiot to lose money as an owner in the NFL. Well, you get handed money.
And I agree with Jones and Snyder. They work whether you like them as owners or not, they work hard.
They do.
To sell
the reason
their teams
they have the
make,
money they
and
have.
Make money. And they sit there. And the problem with them is they're probably sitting there looking at, what's his name, Bidwell in Arizona and saying, are you kidding me? I mean, this guy's not doing nothing.
Right.
And he just got a stadium paid for.
Right.
You know?
Ooh, that's ugly.
You know?
He's not doing anything, but yet he shares, you know, equal 32 shares of all the TV revenue that the league brings in. The Cardinals don't bring that in. The NFL brings that in.
You can make a case that the Cardinals heard it.
Right.
That if they were better, we'd make more.
I'm sure the Cowboys don't mind spending their money with the Patriots because the Patriots are using their resources to try and be a competitive football team. It's the teams that don't try.
At the same time, even Jerry Jones and Daniel Snyder understand that we're only as strong as our weakest link. So we have to keep the bottom level as high as we can. But, you know, I have a right to make as much money as I can in my market.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The thing is, where does my market end? Now, where do I start not just making my own money, but taking it away from another team? You know, that's the thing that they need to wrestle with. And it's more within the owners than it was with the Players Association. Players Association, they don't care. Just give us 68% of everything. You know, we don't care. Or 70% of everything.
Players Association, whatever you say, Paul.
Right. The question is, what is everything?
May I have another?
You know,
what? What? No more signing bonuses? You're right, Paul. Signing bonuses aren't good. Whatever you say, Mr. Tagliabue.
All right.
As Gene, I'm sure, goes to the bank, cashes the check.
Yeah. No, but that's a good question I hadn't thought of, you know, that much about is, Where does your region end now? You know, with this whole NFL network,
mm-hmm.
What does it mean now that the region will get the game? Well,
how does that work in New York?
What do you mean?
I don't know. Are they not competing with each other? Are there any crossover or what?
Yeah,
you have two teams in one city.
That's a good question.
I guess they just figure that
we split the
market,
city. That's your half. This is my half.
I guess they figure the market's so big that you can have two teams. It sustains it because there's so many more people there than the other markets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now,
there's enough there for two.
There's
the
no way
exception.
That if there would it would be against the rules for another team to come into New York.
Right.
They couldn't happen. You know, Buffalo is far away enough where it's not that region.
Well, I wonder what would have happened had because the Jets were going to build in the city.
Right.
And the Giants were going to stay at, they're both now staying in East Rutherford now.
Right.
What would have happened if the Jets had moved into the city and technically
did the Jets get Manhattan?
No, no, because that's still that's considered their area.
I would have to think that the major part of
I mean that all happened when the AFL and the NFL merged.
Jersey.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of like that grandfather rule, the same way the Green Bay Packers is the only team that's not owned by a single person or a majority.
Right.
It's got stockholders.
Right.
That's a rule that's grandfathered in.
You can't do that.
You can't do that now. No team can do that.
They couldn't have an expansion team under that premise.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Can't believe we've gone all this way without talking about the NFL Europe allocations.
Yeah, we should get the news out there. Tom, why don't you give us the list of NFL Europe allocations?
Ray Ventrone.
Why'd you start with him?
Because
everybody
loves Ray. He's the most.
He's going to shine.
He is.
In Europe.
He's the most well-known player.
And what does that mean?
Nothing. But unfortunately, Andy, he's the most well-known player going. There's Todd Mortensen, quarterback out of San Diego.
Earl Charles,
the running back from Marshall. Todd
Jeff Roll.
Mislinski, wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
Rich Mislinski,
a receiver. A couple of offensive linemen.
Roll and
Jeff Roll, I think, is his name.
Mm-hmm. Mortensen, he's related to Chris Mortensen, right?
No, I don't think so.
That's not his son.
Oh,
his son is at Arkansas.
Playing.
No, they spell their last names differently. Oh. That was the first clue.
But he does have a son
playing,
right?
Yeah, he does.
Right?
At Arkansas, right?
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah,
but we had a son playing.
We'll have those NFL Europe diaries there out there for all you Ray Ventrone fans. And
is he going to do the diary?
Well, I'm going to ask him. I'm sure he will. Me and him are best friends.
Tight.
You're tight.
Tom's very tight with Ray.
I put him on the map. You know.
You did?
Fred did discover him in training camp. One day he told me.
He's claiming all the chumps that don't make the team.
One day
I thought Robbie Gould was his guy.
Fred told me to watch Ray Ventrone one day during a special teams drill. It was a punt drill. And he was the gunner. And
Not necessarily.
You know,
he was like.
He was getting double teamed, you know, two vice guys.
Every play was getting his.
You would not believe the amount of punishment that he took on this particular drill. And I watched. And you can always tell, like, if it's one of those guys that they just hate and they're, like, pounding on, or if they respect the guy because
Bubba.
He's doing it the right way.
Right.
And you could tell that he did have the respect.
They like
because
Bubba.
Because after they knocked him into the ground 17 times, they picked him up on the 18th one and made sure that he was okay.
Right. But
Fred was like, watch this.
I had to love it. You know, he was just trying his butt off. And you see him on the sideline training camp, he'd always stand by himself, kind of just... You know, I felt bad for him a little bit. So
still
yeah,
saying
I wanted
like
to
Shane.
Do the story, remember? Because
yeah.
In the locker room, he never talked to anybody,
right.
And I felt bad for him.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the year, though, that kind of changed. He was kind of talking more with people.
It definitely
changed. He must have earned some respect because I saw a lot of veterans as the year went on. A lot of it was, hey, Bubba, make sure you get me, sweatband, you know, whatever they wanted. The rookies always have to get all the equipment for the veterans, so there was a lot of that too, but it seemed like there was more interaction with him.
I mean, the amount of time that he played in preseason, he didn't play much. He definitely throws his body around, not necessarily in the right place. But he plays with reckless abandon. Made a couple stupid plays. Had a roughing call out of bounds. I remember in one game and.
But you got to remember, too, he played at Villanova, so the speed of the game was probably a huge change for him once he got to the NFL.
Right, but he's got the speed, and he throws his body around. He's a little small, but we'll see what happens.
In NFL Europe. I think if he plays well there, you know, and has a good training camp, he could, you know, make the roster as a special teams kind of guy. Because Izzo and Don Davis are getting up there in age.
Yeah.
Expense.
And you know what? He's not much smaller than Lynch, John Lynch. I mean, you know. Who knows?
Who knows?
You never know. Why not T.O.?
Yeah.
We just had him from a fringe roster guy to John Lynch.
Yeah. Right. Hey, things move quickly here, Paul. Keep up.
I think it's all mental because he's got speed, Ventrone.
Well, I know he got Bill talked about him. He got the practice player of the week several times. He had mentioned during the year. So,
I'm rooting for him. Speaking of Sean Maury.
That's a Maury.
On a Super Bowl team now?
I'm rooting against him.
You're rooting against Sean Moore?
Yeah, rooting against him.
I'm rooting against Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
well,
as a
whole.
Now, what do you think of the notion that some people have floated out there that you should be rooting for Pittsburgh to win because that validates the Patriots' supremacy in the fact that they beat them in two of the last three?
It means nothing. Stupid.
Nah.
AFC title.
I'm not going for it.
I don't understand the logic.
But here's the thing, and you know,
first of all, you should root for whoever you want to root for.
Well,
first and foremost,
if you have a player on one of the teams,
yeah,
for
whatever reason you have for rooting for a team,
or
that's your reason.
The Steelers, root against them.
But I don't see if I just totally had no, I couldn't figure it out. You know what? I really don't have any, you know, anything binding me to either team. I'm gonna take this premise that I should root for the Pittsburgh Steelers because the Patriots beat the Steelers in two AFC championship games in the last 4 years. Why? What is that? How does that validate the Patriots?
I don't know.
So if they win, that means you were that
well,
much better. You
I mean, there are some people say, you know, I'm an AFC guy, Patriots in the AFC,
that's
so you always root for the AFC.
Whatever
team.
Reason you have, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about this particular reason. I don't get the logic. I don't understand the line of thinking.
Well,
does that make the Patriots better?
Here's the line of thinking.
We know
we're better. We know we can beat them. And the fact
Cordell Stewart?
Yeah. The fact that they beat, you know, the Seahawks, and we know that we can beat Pittsburgh, we're really the best.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
They're not the best because they're sitting at home.
It doesn't
hold
water. The
Patriots are sitting at home.
I mean, if you wanted to use that kind of jump as the logic, then all you'd have to do is say, well, Pittsburgh had no trouble whatsoever handling all those blitzes that Denver threw at them, and the Patriots couldn't get out of their own way for the entire first half.
I could say this. The Tennessee Titans came up in the frigid weather and were a drop Drew Bennett pass away from beating the Patriots. So if that game was in Tennessee, then the Titans would have won because that's how equal the two teams were. You can say that for anything.
And that doesn't mean anything because the Patriots might have won by five touchdowns if they played in Tennessee.
Just don't know.
It doesn't matter.
You just don't know. But now, let me get your take on this, though, because I've changed. There was a time not too long ago, a few weeks ago, where we all said, doesn't matter, whoever comes out of the AFC is going to be the Super Bowl champ. But now that it's the Steelers, I'm not so sure.
They really tested that.
People saying the same thing.
They really tested that theory by bringing their worst team to the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
The AFC.
Exactly. So I'm going back on that now. I'm going to contradict myself.
Me and Paul already talked about this, how Cowher's already changing things up. In those three playoff games, they came out and they said, listen, we're going to whoop you. We're going to beat you up. And if you don't like it, too bad. And now all of a sudden, he's pulled back the reins. Joey Porter's not talking. And I believe the Steelers play the bully role like the Patriots play the underdog role. So to change their mindset right now is not the way to go. Because the Seattle's sitting here going, great.
Well,
Joey Porter,
you know,
we're
underdogs. And it's funny, you know, you pick up on those things. You picked up on that. I was listening to Matt Hasselbeck, I think it was Monday. He was being interviewed on Sirius, or it might have been even Sunday over the weekend. And he was telling the guy, you know, that was interviewing him, well, you know, last week Mike Holmgren started this off saying, we're going to treat this week as if we're playing on Sunday. So we got everything installed, okay? We're ready to go. If we had to play today, we're ready. And I don't like that because I remember when the Patriots were in there, they held things back to make this last week a little interesting. They actually didn't install everything until the final week, so players had something to look forward to. I don't like
it. So both teams are going to lose.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't like it, the fact that, you know, they've got everything installed, and now it's so much repetition this week, you get bored with it.
Well, the thing about the Super Bowl that, and it never, ever fails. When there's 2 weeks in between, these kinds of things become major issues.
Oh, yeah.
Like, did they not put the game plan in at the right time? You know, why are they not doing, why are they not talking this? What? And, you know, ultimately, none of that really matters.
Flies out the door 2 minutes in
when the
game
starts.
Joey Porter sacks somebody and does all his talking then.
Right.
It even gets to...
Or if, you know, the Seahawks game plan comes out and they have a script of 15 plays and Hasselbeck goes...
And they have four touchdowns by the end of it.
I'm just using the Steelers as an example because they've been tight in big games before.
Gary, get the horn ready because I'm going to... I remember watching the game, the Eagles last year's Super Bowl game with Vrabel and those guys, and they show, you know, the Eagles hitting each other and going crazy before the game, and Vrabel saying, yeah, we really like that. We like a team to beat the hell out of each other before the game. You know, and it even gets up to that point where those little things players think make a difference. So
none of it matters. And if it does matter, I have to wait till Sunday to tell you what mattered. Because who knows what's going to unfold.
Well, that's true, too.
You guys have big parties that you're going to?
I do think this is going to be an...
You do at the Sugar Daddy?
No.
No.
I'm looking forward to this game, though, the game itself.
It
I think
a
it's a good matchup.
I think it should be a good game.
I think it's a good matchup. But yeah. And,
who do you have is going to have the first challenge? Who'd you take in that proposition?
First challenge?
Coach's challenge.
That's one of the bets you can make.
Oh, I'll take all prop bets. You find them, I'll take them.
Who would you take in that one? Who's going to challenge first?
Cowher.
Cowher challenges a lot.
I think it's going to be a very good game. You know, I just
a challenge
I
spot
kind,
on
I kind of like having
play.
A couple characters there during the week.
Touchback.
I mean, even Freddie Mitchell, as bad as he is, at least he provided some interesting stuff. You know what
right,
I mean? Like,
right.
But this doesn't seem like there's really many characters there. So it kind of makes the 2 weeks leading up to it a little boring. But as far as the game itself, I think that should be very exciting.
Do you have anything special planned for the game?
No, just watch it. You know, high def.
I'm just going to
watch it on the TV. I bought 12 years ago.
You have to be excited for Friday because your boy is going to be on Sirius.
Who?
Tom Brady. Yes, Brady is hosting a show on Sirius.
Sirius MVP Radio.
I'll tell you what, really? By Tom Brady. No offense to the Patriots, but these networks really need to find more interesting people to host shows than Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. I mean, both guys are great at what they do, but they're not the most exciting two people in the world.
Belichick, Brady will be like, oh, golly gee, I you know,
Belichick will be like, he's big, he's strong, he's fast.
Well, it's two
sometimes
words
he's big and fast.
There's two words that come to mind when I watch the Seahawks and the Steelers play, big and fast.
Well, Felger wrote about it today, how, you know, he was talking with Tom Jackson yesterday.
This ball that he
and asked him about it, and Tom Jackson says, look, I have absolutely no hard feelings, but I can guarantee you they're not going to be together.
No.
I can guarantee you, too, because it's
said it in a press release in a separate set.
Well, I don't even need a press release to tell me. So
would have been better TV if they were together.
He's with
then
Tirico,
and, like, ooh, what's
and,
happen?
And the rest of the crew, Berman, Jackson, Young, and Irvin is separate.
I think that's some ESPN butt-kissing. I mean, I'd rather see John Gruden.
Listen, we know that ESPN has been working to try to rehab their image in the eyes of Bill Belichick, because we know that Belichick hasn't been happy with ESPN. Right. I mean, ever since
that issue. Then they screwed him on the whole Teddy Bruschi thing. They told him the night before that he was going to play.
Right.
That's true.
And they weren't supposed to say anything, and they did. What?
What? I don't know if that was necessarily public knowledge.
Well, no,
it is now on podcasts everywhere. No, download it while you can. Right out of the iPod.
You said it's absolutely true based on what I've been
told.
Does Bill have an iPod?
The stuff that goes on in those network meetings is not to be released prior to the game.
Right.
It's for the announcers when they're in the game to have some background knowledge.
But it happens.
But it's not supposed to.
Just like when it got out there that Michael Vick wasn't going to play and the line changed dramatically.
Yeah.
Stuff gets out there.
Well, it's not. And I think as
Vegas
a coach,
knows all,
I think as a coach, that's a trust thing, and I have a right to be upset, especially after what happened before.
I'll tell you one thing. I would be a lot more upset if I was Bill Belichick about the Bruschi incident than I would be about the Tom Jackson. The Tom Jackson thing was just an off-the-cuff remark
that was huge.
We still don't know if
he
was told that.
I think it was blown way out of proportion.
Paul, I remember sitting in the hotel room.
You're comparing someone's opinion with something that's part of the game plan.
He didn't say it like that, Paul.
What if a player told him?
A guy said his opinion.
Exactly.
And you're comparing that to revealing game plan information
on
TV.
That's what I was sitting in the hotel room, and he said, you know, this team hates their coach. I assume that somebody told him that.
Right.
I have no doubt that they did.
Then that's huge. That's a story right there.
Yeah, but I think people in that locker room right now hate him.
If the team,
if the Patriots
have told Tom Jackson that, that's a big, big story. So now Belichick hears that.
I think you could go to every team and find players that hate the coach.
I don't think it's nearly as big a deal as it was made out.
But what made it big in Belichick's mind is the fact that he said
they
that without someone having told him that. He said it as a declarative sentence. He didn't say, you know, it seems like this team.
He did. No, no question he said it strong. There's
absolutely
no doubt. My point
like he knew. I assume that he had inside information.
Very clearly. They hate their coach.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt he said it strong.
They hate their coach. It wasn't like there's players on this team that don't like Bill Belichick.
My point
they hate their coach. The whole team hates their coach.
I don't understand how you can.
You're the head coach. You're like, what the F?
I don't understand how you can compare that to revealing game plan information on
the air. Because that could be some intern that opened his mouth. You know?
I'm talking about in terms of winning and losing games. I don't understand.
Right.
One of them may have hurt Bill Belichick's feelings and reputation. The other may have hurt his chances to win a football
game. That's true, but you
know
what?
I don't understand how you can compare those two.
Bill Belichick, believe it or not, is human, and the last thing he wants is some idiot on ESPN, and I like Tom Jackson, but some idiot telling America that the Patriots hate Bill Belichick in an in-fact sort of way. That's ridiculous.
Yes.
That's the last thing you need.
It's ridiculous if it's not true.
And it wasn't.
You don't know that.
Well, he certainly, it was his opinion.
Absolutely.
And that's not the way he said it. So well, he made.
Does he have to put up a sign that says "This is my opinion" before he sends it to clear it with you?
On a statement like that,
I mean,
hell
an
yeah!
Opinion show. Do I have to say that everything that I say
on
the show is my opinion?
I'd like to see more statements like that. To be honest with you, I'm sick of them pussyfooting. See, I think that statement hurt ESPN because now they pussyfoot around everything.
I think Tom's
and
right.
And they don't say anything about anybody.
These
are
analysis shows. Well, they're paid to give their opinions.
But opinions about what's going on. But you don't know what's in the minds of other people unless they tell you.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, I'll tell you what. If things didn't turn out for the Patriots the way that they did, then maybe it wouldn't have been such a big deal.
It happens on every team. Absolutely.
Tom, they won the Super Bowl, and that's why it was such a big deal. Bottom line.
No, it was a big
deal
at the time.
They lost that day. It would not have been a big deal the next
week. That happened week one of the season. It was a big deal at the time. Week two, after week one. It was a big deal at the time.
You wanted him to say... Hey, you ex player told me that he hates Bill Belichick.
You know, I think he's throwing the player under the bus.
Which obviously he couldn't do.
Right.
Well, you don't have to say who the player is.
Well, all we do is rip people for saying unnamed sources. I have an unnamed player.
Well, afterwards, he clarified and said no one told him that.
Right.
Because he was, in my opinion, protecting whoever did tell him.
Maybe he was. But
so you wouldn't have been happy no matter what he said.
No, if he had said, "Look, I've talked
unless
to some players.
Said, I think Bill Belichick is great."
I've talked to some players, and there's well, players on this team that hate their coach.
Well, let's rein this back in a little because last night did anybody see PTI?
Yeah.
They argued on the Belichick thing. Will Bond, who is a Belichick guy, apparently has had dinner with him on occasion. Said, he thinks there's a chance he's very good. Taking kind of the Michael Felger route in those film sessions. When you just get him to talk football, he's great, blah, blah, blah. He's engaging and funny and witty and well-read and blah, blah, blah. And Kornheiser went the other way. Why am I going to believe suddenly when, based on everything I've ever seen in the public view on TV or in a press conference, that he's not entertaining in any way, that he's suddenly going to change and flip the switch and become this great guy?
See, I think what people that think that he's going to be great are missing, in my opinion, is the format that it's in. I think he's great. In the meeting room with us, Fred and Tom, and you act the first one, right, Andy?
Yeah. Like
so you missed one of them. But when he's sitting there and there's no script,
right.
It's off the cuff. There's no time limit. There's no you got to get something in 2 minutes because then you're going to a commercial and then you're going to come back and you're going to show this witty little banter. I think that setting is too structured for Bill. I think if you had him kind of off the cuff and it's just a half hour and let the cameras roll, I think he'd be highly entertaining. But I think on a TV setting, on a pregame show, I'm not so sure that he's going to be able to come across as well as he might, say, on a Friday afternoon here, with a Friday morning with us down the hall here in the meeting room.
Do we know when it is?
Well, I think what they'll do is
I don't want to watch 4 hours to try to see a 5 minute segment.
I think what they're going to do is they're going to set up exactly what Belichick's going to analyze. So in other words, they're going to say,
I think it's going to be.
They're going to say, okay, we're going to use this clip of Willie Parker. Want you to talk about what they're doing right blocking. We're going to use this clip of Lofa Tutupu. Talk about his instincts.
See, I agree with you, Fred.
I think that's what they're going to do.
I agree with you, and that's why I don't think it's going to be that good.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say it's going. I don't think it's going to stink or anything.
I think it's going to be very informative. I think it's going to be insightful, it's going to be dry.
It's going to be very dry.
If you want it to be good, you know who you should get? Someone like Herm Edwards, because he's not smart enough to know what to say and not what not. So he'll just go off and start saying whatever.
Your opinion.
Again, get the horn ready. But a couple years ago, we sat Bill Belichick down in front of clips that he hadn't ever seen. But they're from the Carolina Super Bowl. And all we did was say, okay, here's a clip of this. And, I mean, the guy, using the little jog button on the machine, just broke it down like that. It's just amazing how he's got it down.
I think that he'd be very good. Like, for example, Fred, when we watched...
I think their defense is...
Del Rio.
The Lawrence Taylor, Joe Montana day.
Right.
When what were the things that stuck out to you that he said that day?
His package.
What was the most interesting part?
Oh, John Elway.
Elway stuff.
Steve Young.
You're not going to get any at all.
It showed me, though, and I grew up watching John Elway every time I could. It really, that's exactly what he does. He gets back 10 twists and just stands
but he's
there.
But my point is, he's not going to talk in descriptive terms about the players that are playing today.
No.
Like he actually,
that was the most interesting part.
He actually,
I mean, to me,
told
it was
us,
a Steve Young comment.
But he actually told us he thought Montana and Marino were the two best he's ever seen.
He's never going to say Willie Parker gets to the hole faster than anyone, you know, or Lofa Tatupu can fill, or Matt Hasselbeck, the way he moves around. He's not going to say stuff, I don't think, in definitive terms, because these are guys that are playing.
Well,
now,
if they're good, he will. Like, well, if you watch him on Patriots All Access,
he'll gush praise, but he's not going to give you anything of any substance.
Right. If he has
I can get that every Wednesday.
If he won't say something like Lawrence Taylor was good against the run when he felt like it. Like he says, you know, like Joey Porter's good against
the
run.
If there's any weakness that he's detected in a current player, he'll never tell you about it.
That's perfect.
To him, that's a competitive advantage.
Because he's going to have to play the Steelers. He's going to have to play the Seahawks. He's not giving you anything.
A lot of people say about Joey Porter that if you can contain him early and not let him get off early, like if he doesn't get a sack in the first quarter, you have him for the game. A lot of people say that he quits. He'll never say anything like that.
Right.
He won't say that. Joey Porter can really get off
and
the
edge. And he shouldn't. No coach will. Obviously,
no,
what coach will, though?
Herm Edwards.
No, I'm not saying that Bill should say that. I'm saying now if you take that insight away from his, you know, material.
Right.
You're left with a dry, kind of dull personality.
Right.
They clearly have Bill Belichick because
he's
Bill Belichick, not because they said,
he's
what coaches are available to be really good?
Right.
Gruden, Parcells.
That's my point. Look, I'm as entertained as anybody at those Friday film sessions. I really enjoy them, especially these last two this year. But I don't think you're going to get that on a pregame show on national television in front of how many million people.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Another reason to watch the pregame. Now, that's the pregame.
The only reason to watch the five-hour pregame.
Now, that's the pregame on ABC.
Yes, yes.
Now, because NFL Network's doing a whole bunch of stuff, too.
Yeah, you have everything you need.
At time, do they? At some point, do they switch off
the
so
desire
that
to watch.
ABC
gets NFL Network thing?
Gets the spotlight? At one point, does the network stop their pregame so that ABC gets their time to shine?
I would imagine they probably stop around 4 o'clock, maybe. Yeah.
So,
is there anything interesting going on at halftime? You know, they usually have those competitors.
Stone,
maybe someone
but the Rolling Stone.
I don't care about those. I mean, like
the lingerie bowl.
Or
there is a lingerie bowl.
All the fun stuff. They used to have the Bud Bowl.
Bud Bowl
and the lingerie bowl.
You used to bet on the Bud Bowl, didn't you?
Yeah.
Made
a killing one year.
Jeez.
There is a lingerie bowl. I heard Felger talking about it yesterday.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. All right. Is that pay-per-view?
I'm sure.
I guess.
All right. Should we get to? Let's take a break, Gary. When we come back, we'll get to the emails.
Intercepted, Rodney Harrison, and that is it. And the Patriots have done it again.
They did it again. For the third time in 4 years, your New England Patriots are Super Bowl champs.
Back to back, 3 out of 4.
NFL Films and the New England Patriots are proud to present 3 Games to Glory 3, the definitive keepsake from the Patriots' third World Championship. 3 Games to Glory 3 is a unique behind-the-scenes look at the Patriots' run through the 2004 playoffs and their victory in Super Bowl 39. The Ultimate Patriots DVD includes every play from Super Bowl 39 and the playoff victories over the Colts and Steelers, and features more exclusive behind-the-scenes footage and one-on-one interviews than ever. This amazing 2-DVD set takes you into the locker room and onto the sideline. Coach Belichick breaks down the film, highlighting the key plays to victory. You'll hear from the players on the sidelines and get the players' take on the commentary track of the Super Bowl. The Ultimate DVD for the Ultimate Patriots fan. 3 Games to Glory 3. Available in the Patriots Pro Shop and online at Patriots.com. Complete your set and relive the glory.
To prove how easy it is to eat the warm cinnamon stick from Dunkin' Donuts, we've given one to Donito, the world-famous bongo player.
Mmm, delicious.
Unlike typical cinnamon buns or rolls, this warm cinnamon stick can be held in one hand, leaving your other hand free.
Yes, watch this.
As you can tell, he's enjoying the delicious spirals of cinnamon flavor and sweet icing.
Very good.
Best of all, this warm cinnamon stick never leaves you with a sticky, gooey mess like the usual cinnamon roll. To compare, I'm going to hand Donito one of those typical cinnamon rolls.
My hands, they're stuck to the bongos. Help me.
The freshly baked warm cinnamon stick. It'll leave you feeling satisfied, not sticky.
Donito is finished.
For a limited time, only at Dunkin' Donuts. Bring yourself back. Price and participation may vary.
Try the warm cinnamon stick from Dunkin' Donuts. The shape makes it easy to eat, and the flavor is hard to resist. For a limited time only at Dunkin' Donuts. Bring yourself back. Price and participation may vary.
John Madden here. If you're really into football, you need to check out Sirius Satellite Radio's Any NFL Game Anywhere Sweepstakes. One winner and a friend will travel to any NFL game anywhere each week of the 2006 regular NFL season. Imagine it. One weekend you're in Beantown watching the Patriots, then after you barely got your feet planted, boom, you're off flying across the country to San Diego. It's NFL action like you've never seen it. And only Sirius takes you there for the full MVP treatment.
Sirius gives you a front row seat for every NFL game every week. And you can be there in person if you win the Any NFL Game Anywhere Sweepstakes. Enter at Sirius.com. No purchase necessary. Entry must be between 8-21-05 and 10-105. Must be 18 or over and a resident of the continental U.S. Visit Sirius.com for details and official rules. Void where prohibited. The NFL is a registered trademark of the National Football League. Air travel provided by Southwest Airlines. Proud sponsor of the NFL. It's more than just radio. It's Sirius Satellite Radio.
This is PFW in Progress.
You guys are arresting me for getting thrown out of a window? I got thrown out of a window, man!
You would tell me, so what's the charge?
Disturbing the peace.
Disturbing the peace? I got thrown out of a window! What's the charge for getting pushed out of a moving car, huh? Jaywalking?
This is PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Yeah. I'm looking for a gray-haired gentleman, very dark skin, Capricorn. Tell him that I went to the clinic today, and I found out that I have herpes simplex 10. And I think Victor should go check himself out with his physician to make sure everything is fine before things start falling off on the man.
Paul Perillo.
Wow. You know, it says here that by the time the average American is 50, he's got 5 pounds of undigested red meat in his bowels.
Why are you telling me this? What makes you think I have any interest in that at all?
Well, you eat a lot of red meat.
And Andy. And Andy?
Jesus.
Andy Hart.
How you doing?
Some guy named Tom.
Just a man who wrecked the buffet at Harrow Club this morning.
Lower your voice, for Christ's sake.
What, can a guy hear me through the wall?
Yes, he can.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
We're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe. You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
It should be more natural, brother. It should flow out like this. Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
PFW in Progress.
I had to go to the bathroom. I was walking by. It looked like a nice, clean place, so I stopped.
What's wrong with you?
He's not on his team. All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Here until 2 o'clock, Andy, Paul, Tom, and Fred.
Andy's all pouty.
What's with the facial growth? Why are you doing that? Why not? What are you, a baseball player in the 1990s or something?
Andy's so mad.
That's so 90s, Andy. You know,
just for a change.
Yeah.
Plus, my wife likes it.
She likes it.
Yeah. Most girls hate it. When I used to have my girlfriends hate it. She asked me to do it. I used to do it during football. And the chin straps.
Glory days!
No, I'm just saying. And she asked me to do it. And can't do it during the season with TV and crap, so.
Okay.
Why not?
All right. Why can't you do it for TV if it looks good?
Well, the transition phase. I'd have to have it done before the season.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
You got to kind of, like, tweak it and let it grow in. And
all right. Well.
Next topic.
I don't like it. Paul.
I like you.
Paul from the Netherlands. From the Netherlands, by the way. Did you catch that? The Netherlands?
The Netherlands, yes.
Okay. Let me ask you.
Where's that, Holland?
It's out there.
I thought it is Holland.
It is. Let me ask you what you think about Lawrence Maroney being drafted by the Patriots in the first round. I saw that DraftCountdown.com has him projected at 27. That means that the Patriots at 21 could draft him. I think he should be rated a bit higher. What is your take on that? He could be a great one, and together with Dylan, who can groom him in his rookie year, he can be a great asset right away or in the near future.
Can I just make a disclaimer right now so we don't get flooded with emails for the next few months? Nobody who does a mock draft knows anything, including myself. We just do them for fun. Nobody knows where Lawrence Maroney is going to be. So just because
an idea.
Fred.
Most mock drafts in the top 10, they may not have the order right, but they have the right guys in that top 10.
No kidding.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
We're talking this about 27, Fred.
No, I mean, if
I'll tell you what, Reggie Bush is going number one. You have my guarantee. You happy?
But you should be able to pretty much know first round value, guys.
It's hard to do. It's a lot harder than you think it is if you don't follow the draft.
Well, that's why the best guys have like 10 hits in the first round.
Right. Listen,
direct hits.
When the Saints traded up a couple years ago to number 6, Fred, nobody thought it was going to be for Jonathan Sullivan. Certain teams fall in love with certain players. That's right. Why it can all get wacky. So don't get crazy when you see mock drafts have Maroney here. We don't know really now.
Well, what do you think?
I think Maroney's a very good player. I don't think the Patriots will draft him.
First round value?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
Fred, you've already said they shouldn't draft a running back in the first round.
That's correct.
Okay. I think the
unless they're going to move up and go after Bush or something.
I think
is not going to happen.
They can't do that.
If D'Angelo Williams fell for some godly reason
he's going in the other direction.
Right. Then they would be crazy to pass on him or Lendale White. Maroney's kind of on the fence where he's the next person out, and I don't know how enamored the Patriots will be with his running style, even though he is a big home run hitter.
And it depends on who else is on the board at that time.
If a guy like Maroney was available in the second round, now obviously doesn't look like that's going to be the case if he's being talked about from 10 to, from 20 to 30. If he was available in the second round, would you jump all over him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the value. That's what we're talking about.
Right,
you know,
that's why
you've got him on first round and you're bored and he's an available second round.
Fred, you just answered your own question why mock drafts are so difficult. After you get through the top 10, you're talking about players who slide and teams trade up and who you have rated highly. Now, say the Patriots have Chad Greenway as by far and away the best linebacker in this draft. And at number 14, he's there. Perhaps they trade up to get him because they feel he's that good.
Sure.
So that's why mock drafts are difficult.
They're very
difficult.
You don't
know how teams
are. Very difficult. That's why they're fun.
They're also, they're a lot of fun. But, I mean, we get some emailers who get really nervous, like, oh, my God, they said Lendale White was going to be there. Please tell me we're going to draft him. Well, he might go number 4.
Okay.
We don't know.
All they want to know is if he's there, should they draft him?
Yeah. I think they should draft Maroney, yes.
Okay, at 21.
At 21.
They're both there.
Who?
White and Maroney.
I'll take White.
No, I mean, clearly he says Maroney is 4.
Just checking. Scott in Washington, please rate the chances of the following happening. Signing Keenan McCardle in free agency.
0. He's not a free agent.
Trading for Eric.
We do need to talk about this because we've been talking about McCardle as a free agent, and we don't think that he's a free agent.
Right.
We got an official list of free agents. He's not a free agent.
The thing
is that I
believe at some point we got an unofficial list and he was on there.
Now, I don't know. I don't know if he's due some bonus or whatever. And he's
not on the research
become,
I did. He is getting money, but it's like $1 million. It's like there's no big bonus. There's no big salary.
Well, as far as we know, Keenan McCardle is not available.
So no chance.
Okay, trading for Eric Moulds.
None.
Trading for Eric Moulds, I don't think there's any chance of.
Managing to keep David Givens.
Very little.
Really?
Yeah, I'll give that a slim chance.
Okay.
I agree.
Letting Adam Vinatieri move on to another team and the Patriots sign a kicker or draft Connor Hughes.
0.
Very unlikely.
None.
How is Connor Hughes good?
I know the name. I got to be honest with you, Fred. I haven't done my kicker research yet.
He's got a huge leg.
They're kind of last on the list.
Robbie Gould. Patriots pick a running back in the first round.
Slim.
Somewhat likely.
Okay. I go like 40.
Somewhat likely.
40%, 50%.
Somewhat.
I'm going much more slim than that.
Patriots pick a tight end.
You're not going very
round.
Slim.
I walked into that one.
If the Patriots pick a tight end in the first round, you're going to want to listen to our live draft show because you're going to have one hell of a response from Tom Casale.
This person, Scott, says he's just kidding, but sort of. Patriots keep Doug Flutie as the veteran backup.
Hopefully, 0. None.
Ron Borges and Nick Cafardo catfight over who hates the Patriots more, with Andy Hart screaming, "Why am I on the undercard?"
I don't know, but that's one heck of a that was a good one.
That could happen.
Mangini rating the staff for other assistant coaches.
I think he's done. 0.
I think that's 0 chance. I think that's not going to happen.
Okay, so that was Scott's rating.
I like emails like that.
Yeah,
too.
Scott is a quality emailer.
Cliff writes in, and he says, with the major injury to Rodney this year, do you think the Pats are going to look at safety in the draft? If so, what about Darnell Bing? He is fast, can cover, and can lay the lumber, not to mention he knows what it takes to win. He did win a few national championships with USC.
Can I make another disclaimer?
Okay.
Darnell Bing's the most overrated player in this draft. Every time I watch him, he sucks. can't cover.
That's a disclaimer.
All rookie team, Darnell Bing.
Book it now, Chandler Bing. Cliff, all rookie team.
But Cliff, I'd like to know, since I've seen a ton of USC games in the last couple of years, what you're basing your assessment on. Was it, did somebody on the internet tell you that, or did you actually watch it? Because the games I watched. No, I'm just saying that because I had this assessment of Darnell Bing way before the draft. I think he gets abused in coverage, and I think he misses a lot of tackles. I'll tell you what, go back and watch the Rose Bowl.
Well, that was awful.
And find out the guy who's getting killed on virtually every play. That's Darnell Bing. I just don't like him.
I also don't think safety. I mean, when we say draft, you know, like, do you think they'll draft? I think that most people, when they ask that question, are talking about the first round.
I can guarantee you they'll draft a safety
somewhere
in the draft.
Yeah, they're not going to draft one in the first round, in my opinion.
But I believe, and I think you guys probably agree, that's a position they'll probably hit in free agency and bring a veteran
in. I believe that to be true also. They need some defensive backs, whether they're safeties, cornerbacks.
Absolutely. And they always take them.
And Corey Chavis would be a nice fit here, a guy who can play corner and safety. Very
and break down the draft for us.
Was he related to the kid last year, Chavis, that didn't get drafted, that everyone thought was going to? What was that, Ernest?
That was
Shazor. No, it's Ernest Shazor, the line.
Shazor, okay.
The safety from Michigan. Yeah.
Okay.
No, probably not related.
No. Now that I know
aren't entirely all that close.
Now that I know it's a different name, then okay.
But I do not like Darnell Bing.
You don't like Darnell
Bing. Just to recap, or Cliff. Tom's down on Cliff and Darnell Bing.
Joey is going to give some love to Tom Casale. Says that I want to tell Tom that I was really impressed with yesterday's PFW answers he posted.
You.
Well thought out, insightful, right on the money, responses, and funny as well where appropriate. All I'm saying is Tom may have a future in sports journalism.
That's not funny. That's just how he talks.
One question for the staff today. Will the Pats take another defensive player in round one? I will be shocked if they don't. The last two first-round offensive players that I can recall them taking are Logan Mankins and Ben Watson, both at 32. What about Wilfork? And what about
his defense?
Wilfork. Graham. Defense. What about Daniel Graham?
Daniel Graham is offense.
But those two were the last two.
Right.
And three out of the last four. So three out of the last four.
Yeah.
So the emailer was exactly right in the way they worded that.
They are working out okay. I would love to see them get a Lendale White or Lawrence Maroney this year. Maybe even move up in the draft to do it if necessary. Your thoughts on how they will pick in round one?
Should we revisit my back-breaking search feature from last year that was rendered out of date 2 days after it went to print and they traded for Corey Dillon? Because I could just update all the numbers. Remember when I did all that? All the, like, how the backs fared out that went in the first.
Years ago.
First round, second round, third round.
See, I don't like that stuff. I say either you can play or you can't. That's how Ryan Leaf couldn't play and Troy Aikman could. That's how it is.
So there's
been tight ends drafted in the first round who have been busts, and tight ends who have been great. There's been guards. There's been every position. So I just think it comes down to the individual player and what kind of system they go to.
Okay, so, Tom, you're not of the belief that there's any particular position where you just don't draft them top 10?
No.
Okay.
Because if one of
like
them,
offensive guard, for example.
No, not if there was an absolute, because the one position would be safety, right? Now Roy Williams was.
Well, there's been
in the
some safeties. Sean Taylor
right.
was
Sean
in the top
Taylor's
10.
Been in the top 10. Now,
I would say guard probably is the
were
guard
top,
or center.
Are those two worthy of top 10 draft picks? Maybe not. But was Troy Polamalu? Was Ed Reed? Maybe. So I wouldn't take the position. It's the player. You know what I mean?
Yep. Okay.
Yeah,
I mean John Hanna.
I wouldn't put safety in that category. Although I do think it would be. Among the lower,
I think
top
guard
10
would
picks.
Be the lowest for sure, because you can always go in free agency and sign some 6-year veteran who can play guard.
I also would stay away from wide receivers in the top 10, even though it's probably very high on the list.
I guess it has to be the right guy. I mean, you know,
right. But that's how everything.
Really,
is.
Top 10 any position, he better be.
But the reason that my reasoning is a little bit different. I think that a position like wide receiver, now this is not a good year for this theory because it's a pretty weak class of receivers from what I've been told by my draft guru sitting to my right. But generally, wide receiver is a pretty deep crop. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get, you know, so maybe you can't get a guy who ranks out to be like a 95 out of 100 in the top 10. But if you wait till, you know, 25, you might be able to get a 92. You know, and I don't think there's, you know, it's not worth it to me to pick wide receiver. There's other positions that usually have less talent. You know, the defensive line, for example, I think is a position that you got to get them early if you're going to get them. Those guys, you know, the best ones, I think, are a lot better than the rest of the pack.
But that's again,
in general, in very general terms.
That's again, though, with teams falling in love with a certain player. You know, if they need help at receiver and they're scouting receivers and they see a Roy Williams and they just,
Look, there's plenty of receivers out there that I really like. Roy Williams is one of them. I really loved him in college, and I think he's been pretty good with the Lions despite all their troubles.
The one thing about receivers, I'll say, is that's probably, in my opinion, the biggest bust position.
No question.
Out of early picks.
No question.
I think, though, with receiver, really, this has to do with a lot of teams. But
that has more to do with situation than any position.
Yeah, I mean, if you get drafted and you're in a bad situation your first few years in the league, it really hurts you as a receiver.
You can't.
You get
a receiver,
bad habits. Mm-hmm. You get balls. You know. You know.
As a receiver, you can't dictate your impact on a game.
Right.
It has to be dictated for you by the way the game unfolds and the quarterback. You know, you're dependent on someone else to get the ball in your hands. Whereas, running backs, even if you have a bad offense and your line stinks and you fall behind,
look at Barry Sanders.
You get a chance to get the ball in your hands a certain amount of times every game.
If you have a bad quarterback or a bad offensive system, it's tough to be a great
receiver.
The
Lions did go to the playoffs 5 years in a row. Just throw that out there for all the people who think that he had such a terrible team.
With Fonts? Yeah, but they'd get one round and then get hit.
He didn't play on the worst
team. Why did Wayne Fonts get fired?
He didn't play on the worst team in football like Walter Payton.
No, it wasn't the worst team in football.
No, they were a decent team. Yeah. They weren't great, but they were okay.
Yeah. But my point is that on receiver, it's tough to be great on a bad team.
Yeah, I mean,
but can be as a running
back. There are examples. I mean, I think Bolden and Larry Fitzgerald, you know, certainly turned in great years this year with you know, McCown throwing him the ball and Kurt Warner, who hasn't been effective in 5 years now. So I think there are examples, but I think for the most part, if you don't have a quarterback to get you the ball, it's hard as a wide receiver to make a big impact, and that's largely has nothing to do with you or your ability.
Yep. And then you become disgruntled, and then you get a reputation, and it's tough. Wide receiver, cornerback are tough positions. Andy, you contributing?
He just tuned it out.
Are you done?
It's like Shaughnessy on this show.
Yeah. What?
You like Shaughnessy. You like cashing the check.
When is he packing?
I know what's going on. It's the house. The house is winning.
No. You're buying a house? Or you bought a house?
He's building it.
You're building a house. Yourself? When do you have time?
Tim the tool man.
Then it would really be a problem.
Okay. So
I'm not feeling all that well today.
Not feeling? I had a stomach flu yesterday. I was having trouble yesterday.
Good to know.
Let's see. Dwayne writes in, do you think that this year is incredibly dull as far as storylines? I don't look forward to people doing stupid things before the Super Bowl, but what team do you guys think is more likely to have a bad publicity story break about one of their players before the game?
Neither.
Wait, do you mean in terms of other years, or is this year just boring?
Yeah,
actually,
boring.
I do think this year has been pretty boring, but I don't think necessarily any more boring than any other
year.
Here's
what upsets me. Again, we go back to these New England fans. I'm listening to EEI yesterday. And that's
fault. Boy, that was a bad show. Yes.
And they got these people calling in, oh, who cares? This is boring. Who cares about the Steelers and the Seahawks? Typical New England fan.
The Steelers are only one of the top three most popular teams in the league, but who cares about them?
I'm interested.
What are you looking for?
I mean, I know.
Well, that's why
we need Troy Polamalu to go out and solicit prostitution the night before the game to make a good
Super Bowl. Bring Ken Hamlin back,
right? I mean, seriously,
more boring than last year was.
Right.
Believe me, I was here listening to it all last year, as Andy points out on numerous occasions.
The only thing he had last year was the T.O. thing.
I would say the Carolina one.
Right, but it wasn't. Believe me, it wasn't exciting.
Right.
I mean, it was
certainly
is Teal going to play every day. That's all it was.
It was a good story for one day, and then it got overblown.
See, I thought
second.
That one was a little exciting because for once the Patriots talked. Because when Mitchell opened his mouth, and even Belichick threw a shot at him at one point,
right?
Because he's such a loser. I mean, it was so comical that I thought that
threw a shot. He killed him. That's one of the rare times that Belichick
that was
actually
after the game.
Nailed a guy.
That was after the game.
Yeah,
after the fact. That's what they do.
Right. Totally.
Let's see. Dwayne also says, but I think it's interesting.
Rodney didn't.
I'm intrigued by this.
I'm not talking about interesting or not. I'm just saying, like, all right, a couple years ago, Oakland, their center, Barrett Robbins, you know, just was missing. The year that
there's still time for all
who was the guy for the Falcons that got caught with a prostitute?
Gene Robbins.
Gene Robbins. Every once in a while, one of those happens. That, to me, is not interesting.
Right. I think they mean more of Deion Sanders, Shannon Sharp, that type of personality there that is always.
To me, those other things are worse.
Also,
they make the game worse.
Also, you know,
I'd rather have the two teams show up and play their best games and slug it out for 60 minutes after a boring week where no one said anything.
But there's other things that can make the week before interest. Like, for example, the 2001. You know, they squashed it like Wednesday, but will Brady or Bledsoe play? That's a topic for discussion.
Well, that was definitely interesting.
Yeah, you know,
that was definitely interesting.
I don't see a lot of those stories. I mean, there's a one. Will Bettis start?
I'll tell you what.
Should he start for old times'
sake?
Here's
something
interesting.
I don't care about that. Steelers win their fifth Super Bowl and be tied with the Cowboys and 49ers
I think there's a lot of stuff. Kyler, I mean, you called him a loser.
I know that.
I'm just teasing. But, I mean, he's been coaching for 14 years. He's 2-4 in conference title games with a lot of I think all four of those losses at home, if I'm not mistaken. And he's never won the Super Bowl. I mean, I think that's a very intriguing storyline. Jerome Bettis, for all the...
Yeah, I like the Holmgren one.
The only coach
no one's ever done.
He could be the only coach ever to win Super Bowls with two different teams.
Yeah. So I think there's
a lot of
something even my guy, the Tuna, couldn't pull off.
Dwayne goes on. He says, I'm sorry to be bringing up old stuff, but did anyone else notice how badly Tom Ashworth missed that block in the play that resulted in the game-changing interception in Denver? One of the worst missed blocks I've seen, and it's clear how much it impacted the entire game.
You don't watch Brandon Gorin much,
It just bugged me.
I also wasn't sure if it was him or Ben Watson that missed this.
It just bugged me that Ashworth touched no one and let the guy go free. Well, I mean, now it's public knowledge, and this is true. Tom Ashworth came a hair's width from not playing in that game because how he was very ill the night before. He was getting IV right up to before the game. He had a stomach problem and shouldn't have probably even have been on the field. So not making excuses for him, but that's the excuse.
It wasn't their night. They were going to lose that game no matter what happened.
They just didn't play.
But Ashworth was violently ill right up to the
Patriot fans keep going over play after play after play, but it just wasn't their night that night.
And you know what? It's the same thing, and Fred said this right at that night when we were coming home on the plane. It's the same things that I'm sure were going on in Indianapolis, you know, when Peyton Manning threw the ball to Ty Law three times. Same thing that was going on in St. Louis. I just talking about stuff that came out of the Super Bowl. Grant Wistrom, you know, this big defensive end for Seattle now, he was on that St. Louis team the Patriots beat back in 2001. Still calls that the worst day of his life. You know, and he still says, you know, we felt like we were confident going in. We felt like we had the better team, but they just executed better than us. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe they were the better team, but I still felt like, you know, so that's the same stuff that when St. Louis ends the game with 460-plus total yards and the Patriots had 240-something total yards, but St. Louis turned the ball over three times.
You say Ty Law made the play.
And the Patriots said Ty Law made the play, and he did make the play.
Right.
And Mike Vrabel made Kurt Warner throw the ball. You know, wildly. It all depends on who you're rooting
for. By hitting him in the head.
It all depends on who you're rooting for. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just perspective. And Fred, you know, I give you credit because you're as big a homer as anybody, and you said it immediately.
He's a Broncos fan.
One other thing. Wayne says, does anyone have any idea how long Tom Brady has had the sports hernia?
No.
You know, it's written that, you know, people are assuming that it happened in the Denver game. That's not necessarily
the dumbest assumption I've ever read.
Right. Yeah. What is
he could have had this mid-season and been playing through it all year for all we know. We don't know that.
I think that's
My guess is that it's something that was bothering him down the stretch.
Yeah.
You know? So.
I wouldn't say that it was, you know, he played with it all year, but I would say that I think it's highly naive to think that he got hurt in the Denver game.
Yeah.
But I don't think we can say anything.
We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't even know for sure it's a sports hernia. No one's confirmed that. We've just heard reports.
I don't even really know what a sports hernia is and a hernia. The groin. They're all interrelated.
They just changed the name of it. Right. A sports hernia is a hernia.
Right.
That's all it is.
Why do they say sports hernia?
They just changed it the last couple of years.
It leads to a groin.
Because you got it playing sports.
It leads to a groin tear, and it's common.
Why do they call it a tennis elbow?
That's true.
And Paul's exactly right. And athletes, like when I had my hernia, there was no chance of it turning into a groin problem because I don't move much. But
I thought you were going to say you don't have any.
Wow.
Like Paul said, when athletes get them, there's a chance they can turn into a groin.
That's probably why Fred doesn't know anything about it. I got to defend my boy over
here. They're very common in hockey players.
I thought Paul was your boy.
No, well,
we're a team.
Three are a team. Now
listen,
it's Tom.
Us against you.
Is Paul now a little jealous?
He's
of
part
Tom?
Of the team.
He's part of the team.
Why would I be jealous?
Andy,
well, because now
Fred
his,
Fred's
his
affection
shot
is
now
once
with Tom.
Every
and
six
this
or
is
seven
a team.
Months. You got to let him live with it. You know what
it's
I
true.
Mean?
True.
For what?
I said Fred gets a shot in once every 6 or 7 months. You got to let him have the moment.
Sure.
Usually he just blows the delivery. Like that joke he told me.
He has something ready he's been waiting for all week, and then he blows it.
Remember how mad he was he screwed that Brokeback Mountain joke up?
Seen that, Fred?
What, no.
Are you going to?
No.
How come?
Cinderella Man, did you watch
interested.
It?
Not yet.
Jesus.
I would be interested even if it wasn't about gay cowboys. You know? I
Why?
Just wouldn't be.
So you
I
don't
just,
watch cowboy movies?
It's about gay cowboys?
Brokeback Mountain?
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm interested in this.
What?
I don't know
I'm
what
just
that means.
I'm interested in gay cowboys. That's an interesting
Gary,
subject.
I see Gary reaching for the record button.
Crash. YMCA?
Sally.
I had no idea that the movie was about gay cowboys. That's
see,
something
not,
you don't
read,
see every
listen,
day.
See? That's like the whole... That's why
something
it's
you don't
topic.
See every day.
No, you don't see that every day.
And one of them doesn't
a
know
love
he's
story,
gay, right? It's like a
what?
One is
well, aren't they married?
Gay, and
they're
then
married.
One is
I thought they were
oh,
married and
one
they
of
left
these
their
sappy
wives
movies?
For each other.
Oh, you mean they not married?
You seen that, Andy? Or?
No.
All right,
I could be wrong on that. I thought they were married and left their wives.
I'll
for
get,
each
I'll get
other.
Back to you guys.
I thought one was
I can see this going off on another track.
Not known gay, kind of turned it.
Okay, Gary, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Intercepted, Rodney Harrison, and that is it. And the Patriots have done it again.
They did it again. For the third time in 4 years, your New England Patriots are Super Bowl champs.
Back to back, 3 out of 4.
NFL Films and the New England Patriots are proud to present 3 Games to Glory 3, the definitive keepsake from the Patriots' third world championship. 3 Games to Glory 3 is a unique behind-the-scenes look at the Patriots' run through the 2004 playoffs and their victory in Super Bowl 39. The ultimate Patriots DVD includes every play from Super Bowl 39 and the playoff victories over the Colts and Steelers, and features more exclusive behind-the-scenes footage and one-on-one interviews than ever. This amazing 2-DVD set takes you into the locker room and onto the sideline. Coach Belichick breaks down the film, highlighting the key plays to victory. You'll hear from the players on the sidelines and get the players' take on the commentary track of the Super Bowl. The ultimate DVD for the ultimate Patriots fan. 3 Games to Glory 3. Available in the Patriots Pro Shop and online at Patriots.com. Complete your set and relive the glory.
To prove how easy it is to eat the warm cinnamon stick from Dunkin' Donuts, we've given one to Donito, the world-famous bongo player.
Mmm, delicious.
Unlike typical cinnamon buns or rolls, this warm cinnamon stick can be held in one hand, leaving your other hand free.
Yes, watch this.
As you can tell, he's enjoying the delicious spirals of cinnamon flavor and sweet icing.
Very good.
Best of all, this warm cinnamon stick never leaves you with a sticky, gooey mess like the usual cinnamon roll. To compare, I'm going to hand Donito one of those typical cinnamon rolls.
My hands! They're stuck to the bongos! Help me!
The freshly baked warm cinnamon stick. It'll leave you feeling satisfied, not sticky.
Donito is finished!
For a limited time, only at Dunkin' Donuts. Bring yourself back. Price and participation may vary.
Try the warm cinnamon stick from Dunkin' Donuts. The shape makes it easy to eat, and the flavor is hard to resist. For a limited time only at Dunkin' Donuts. Bring yourself back. Price and participation may vary.
John Madden here. If you're really into football, you need to check out Sirius Satellite Radio's Any NFL Game Anywhere sweepstakes. One winner and a friend will travel to any NFL game anywhere each week of the 2006 regular NFL season. Imagine it. One weekend you're in Beantown watching the Patriots, then after you barely got your feet planted, boom, you're off flying across the country to San Diego. It's NFL action like you've never seen it. And only Sirius takes you there for the full MVP treatment.
Sirius gives you a front row seat for every NFL game every week. And you can be there in person if you win the Any NFL Game Anywhere sweepstakes. Enter at Sirius.com. No purchase necessary. Entry must be between 8-21-05 and 10-105. Must be 18 or over and a resident of the continental U.S. Visit Sirius.com for details and official rules. Void where prohibited. The NFL is a registered trademark of the National Football League. Air travel provided by Southwest Airlines, proud sponsor of the NFL. It's more than just radio. It's Sirius Satellite Radio.
undrafted rookie free agent cornerback out of LSU.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch.
What were you just talking about?
Any Hart.
You never know, a lawyer might stop by.
Paul Perillo and Tom Casale. No, we were just talking about Howard Stern on Sirius a little bit.
And cucumbers and
porpoises. How crazy that show is. But
I really miss Stern.
Even though we're not controlled by the FCC here, we're not going to go there.
But we did learn that Tom likes gay cowboys.
Well, he's interested.
He's intrigued,
by gay cowboys. Why cowboy? Why not fireman or anything else?
Well, no, I've never seen a movie about gay cowboys. Like, you mean like Western cowboys?
On the ranch, sitting around campfires, that kind of thing.
It's a little interesting.
But you don't think that stuff happened out there all alone?
No, I agree, but they never talk about it. They never have
movies about John Wayne like that.
They didn't talk about the priests until recently either, but that was going on for
a
long time.
Make a movie about that and I'll watch it.
Free agent
John Wayne was gay? I'm sorry, but
was he gay?
See,
I don't know.
John Wayne wasn't gay, was he?
What's the movie I'm thinking about?
John Wayne was gay.
Really? He could have been. Rock Hudson was gay.
I can't think of the stupid movie. It was a good movie. Lorenzo Cocatera. Kevin Bacon was the reform guy.
Oh, yeah. And they came back.
Why can't I think of the name of the movie?
Sweepers.
Yeah.
That's a very good movie.
Yeah.
Undrafted free agent out of LSU-ish.
Very disturbing.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Kind of like your
good movie.
The fact that you're into gay cowboys.
webradio@patriots.com.
Remember that thing I said about us being a team?
Seacrest, out!
You're back on my side, huh?
So you guys...
two hotel rooms in Indy, right?
You watch a movie about gay cowboys, you're
what
that
if I
insecure?
Accidentally stumble in drunk with a cowboy hat on?
Tom will be all over me.
It's nothing to do with insecurity, and I have no interest in the topic.
Oh, see, I have interest in it.
You're pretty close-minded, though. You had no interest in Gladiator.
You didn't watch Gladiator?
I have not seen Gladiator.
And I say, you should watch it, and he goes, no interest.
That is so gay.
Because it just happens to be a great movie.
But Pretty in Pink, he'll stay up for.
Sixteen Candles is a classic. John Hughes is a genius. Stop it, you're embarrassing yourself.
Now, I will admit, if that Brokeback Mountain starts to go a little bit too far, I will turn it off. And it all depends on how much
I don't think it will. I mean, it's a mainstream movie. It's not a porn movie.
I don't want to see.
It's up for an Academy Award, isn't it?
Eight of them.
That's part of the reason why I don't want to see it.
Yeah, so it must stink.
You don't like good movies?
I don't like the movies that the Academy deems are good.
Godfather.
Yeah, but you guys
are like Rocky comes out and they recognize it for the genius that it is.
Once they ripped off Mr. T, I was done with the Academy Awards. But he should have won for Best Supporting Actor for Rocky III, did the best acting job of all time, and he wasn't even nominated.
Yeah, he acted like himself.
And hey, so did Rocky.
But no one knew that.
What'd you say, paper champion?
Let me ask
you
something.
I'll beat you like a dog.
Did people win the awards for The Godfather?
I don't know.
Yeah, they did. They were acting
like himself. I know,
like
that's best movie.
Joe Pesci won awards for acting like himself. That's not
Joe Pesci wasn't in Godfather.
No, I'm saying he won Academy Awards for acting like himself.
And he's the same guy in everything.
Joe Pesci won an Academy Award?
Yeah. I don't know.
You sure on that?
I think he did.
Well, the point is, Joe Pesci doesn't act.
I saw
Joe Pesci won an Academy Award? Look that up.
I don't believe so, Tom. What movie are you thinking?
Bob Hines says no in the background.
I was thinking Raging Bull. I'm thinking of
De
Niro.
De Niro.
I'm thinking De Niro.
Yeah,
well,
he
acted like
that.
Himself.
Because he gained all that weight and then lost it.
Most actors are the same in most movies.
So Mr. T...
No, that's not true.
Should have won an Academy Award.
Like,
what'd you say, paper champion?
The same. The really good ones aren't. Most are the same.
The big ones, you get them because of who they are.
Right.
You want them to be. But
like Tom Hanks is not the same.
No, because he's one of the great actors of our generation.
I have to say about that. I disagree with that.
He's a guy who, whatever movie he's in, you forget he's Tim Robbins.
Right.
Because he becomes that actor.
He's a good actor.
Tim Robbins
He becomes that character.
I say, Shawshank Redemption. Hanks is overrated.
Hey,
I could have done the Forrest
Tom
Gump
Hanks
role.
Is the best actor he ever met. I know that.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. But I can't hold that against the guy individually because that's generally the mindset in Hollywood. They all really, really high in themselves.
I think he's really good.
Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
He's better
than he's not bad.
I'll give you a guy who's the same in everything he's in. Tom Cruise.
Yeah, sure.
Plays the same guy.
Yeah.
Plus he's a jerk.
Well, now he's just a whack job. But, how many times was he like the young unbelievably talented, yet wild, and, you know, lack of, you know, anti-authority kind of guy. I mean, Days of Thunder, Top Gun, all the right moves.
I was going to say, you better not put down all the right moves, or me and you are going at it right now.
Are you going to try to say that those movies weren't good?
No, I was going to say, just because he's the same guy doesn't mean we didn't like it.
Great movie.
That's why we kept watching.
You ever see Vanilla Sky?
That I haven't seen.
A very strange movie.
Yeah.
On the seventh day, God created football, and people paid to watch them hurt, and that was good.
462 Stack Monster, 462 Stack Monster,
6-2 Stack Monster, 6-2 Stack
At least we're talking about football, I mean, you know. So, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. All right, so getting back to the big game coming up. Let's get to some predictions.
The big game? What are we, having a promotion that we can't say?
We're tied into the league. We can say the Super Bowl. We don't just have to say the big game in Detroit on Sunday.
Do you ever see those ads? No, seriously, Fred. I know. Think they're funny. You ever see them?
Yeah, they can't say Super Bowl.
You can go to the big game.
Right.
Big pigskin game.
All right. But people
are we really picking right now?
All right.
Yeah. The All-Star game in Hawaii?
Let's start talking about it.
We have to make
did we mention that, first of all? You cut me off early.
Oh,
Brady and Seymour are not playing in the
Pro
Bowl.
Are not playing.
There are no Patriots in the Pro Bowl.
That's correct.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we...
And Brady's not going because he has a hernia.
I like your boobs.
Reportedly. We don't know why Seymour's not going.
But he did play in a charity golf tournament, so it's not that limited.
Can't
and he did
bad.
Pick up some new clubs at Titans
hey, young lady.
This week.
Right.
I have an inside source that told me that.
I know who.
Who?
Patriots insider from New Bedford.
No. No, I have an inside source.
Because he's got tight with his wife person. Works with... For
he's a lot tighter with this person than he is with... Dan Pyers.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they dominate this game physically. I've learned my lesson. I've always thought certain things about certain players and teams. I broke the rule and said Jake Plummer had done it long enough for 17 games, and then he became Jake Plummer again. Seattle, I think, is kind of a soft team. I've never been into their whole, I think they're fake confident, the whole, we're going to take the ball, we're going to score, all that. And I'm not falling for it again. I think the Steelers get over the hump. They win one. Cowher is a loser maybe, but he'll be a winner on Sunday. And I think they win pretty easily.
I agree.
And I go 9-1, 10-1 for the postseason.
I have the same mentality that
you
have.
You are
9-1. I have.
So I'll be 10-1.
I have the same exact line of thinking that you have, but it's the opposite. I have always thought that the Steelers were losers, but they kept winning, and I kind of changed my mind. But I'm going to go back to my original way of thinking. They're losers, and they're not going to win the Super Bowl.
All right. Is it my pick?
Yeah.
Well, I'm 2-8, and I'm going to do like Chris Berman and make this like a six-pack. So if I win, I can say I was 500 for the year.
MTV's 8-ball yeah. softball games.
Yeah, this is my 10-point shot.
Well, you know what he said last week was if he'd won the two conference championship games, and I don't remember what he picked, it was going to put him within one. Two games, and then if he won the Super Bowl, and the other guy, he could have been within one. He said, if that happens and the Pro Bowl counts.
Right. That he always finds a way. He always finds a way to get to 500. So, I think Bill Cowher's a loser. I don't like him personally.
But he got mad at me for saying that.
No, you don't know him personally.
No.
So how can you not like him personally?
I just don't like him. I don't like that whole thing
like Bill Belichick
from the Super Bowl that with the Cowboys where he was running his big mouth about how smart he was, even though he lost. And then I liked watching his wife and his little girl cry.
Well, that I like.
So I want to see that again. So because of that, I'm picking the Seattle Seahawks. I think their defense is the story. Their defense is very underrated. And I think they control the Steelers.
Yeah, I think that they're a balanced enough team where they're gonna beat the Steelers. Well, Lori's here, by the way. Lori Baranski from Patriots Today.
Yes, I came to get my Super Bowl predictions.
Okay.
I want the Seahawks to win, obviously.
You want them to win. Do you think they will win?
Because you like the Seagals.
Hey, why, obviously?
Well, regardless of the Seagals, why? Because I feel like if the Steelers win, we should have been there.
Oh, okay.
We never had the
chance that was obvious.
Yes, that's obvious.
Well, I was just trying to figure out the obvious
spot. If the Steelers win, we should have been there?
If the Steelers win, it's like a hit below the belt. Like
well, because a lot of people think that, you know, you should always root for the team within your conference.
I understand that, like, yay AFC. But,
right.
But I
yay AFC.
Okay. All right. So you're going with the Seahawks.
I'm going with the Seahawks.
Okay.
By like 10, 12, 13, yeah. High up there.
What's the spread? 5.5 or something?
4.
4? Oh, I'd definitely take the Steelers either way then.
Paul.
Well.
I stand alone.
I am 5-5 in the postseason, which is terrible. and I am 0-3 picking the Pittsburgh Steelers games. So
yeah, I think I am too.
Lead you to believe what I've picked in all three Pittsburgh games.
Right.
Even though they would have lost had Carson Palmer not gotten hurt.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda, mighta.
Playoff game.
Oughta. Didn't.
The key to this game is what Andy talked about, and I don't know what's going to happen. But when Pittsburgh, you know, is its bully self, does Seattle stand up to it the way the Patriots do and hit them back? Patriots always hit them back, and now all of a sudden you're in a street fight and the Patriots can win that game. Can Seattle hit Pittsburgh back and take that punch? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say Pittsburgh is stronger. I agree with Tom, though, about Seattle's defense. I think Seattle's defense is pretty good. I think Seattle doesn't have the weapons in the passing game to hurt Pittsburgh's biggest weakness, and that's the secondary. Darryl Jackson's a decent receiver, but I don't think...
Hopefully he scores first.
I don't think Bobby Engram is going to scare anybody. I don't think Joe Jerevicius. Although he's a big game player,
I'm going to give you my prop bet. Anyone who's listening out there for entertainment purposes, over Jerevicius yards is my prop.
Do you know what the yardage is?
I think it was like 37.
What if it's like 126?
It's not. Wow. It's like 37. I saw it. But on my best prop bet, I'm undefeated. Never lost. I'm 15-0. So I'm putting it on the line right now over Joe Jerevicius.
A lot of years
ago. We'll go by the official number. I believe it was 37, something around there.
So knowing your record on like your five-star locks, he's going to have 38 yards. So you'll be right, but he'll get a three-yard catch late in the game.
I was going
to
say he'll catch a
bomb
late
in the
game.
Well, see, that's the type of thing that makes a Super Bowl interesting because it's never really over.
Right. You never know. But I'm going to say Pittsburgh is going to win a very good game. I think it's going to be an entertaining Super Bowl, and I'm looking forward
to it. Yeah, I mean, here's what I'm worried about. I'm sticking with Seattle, but I'm worried about Seattle likes the short passing, kind of the West Coast type of offense.
Yeah,
but the speed of Pittsburgh, they're going to go sideline to sideline and
Troy
really
Polamalu,
minimize that.
Did you see that screenplay? Was it a screenplay on the goal line?
Yeah.
When he was shot out of a cannon, and it was like he went from the 10-yard line to the goal line in a step.
Key player in this game for me is Clark Hagans. Because I think that Walter Jones is too good for Joey Porter to have a huge impact in this game. So Clark Hagans is going to have to do something on the other side, and I think he will.
What about right up the gut? Because a lot of what you saw Pittsburgh doing through the playoffs were blitzing right up the middle. How is
Seattle strong there with Hutchinson and Toback are very good players.
Yeah, Casey Hampton's
Max
good.
Strong's a good.
Casey Hampton's pretty
Casey
good.
Casey Hampton's
pro bowler. Seymour's filling in the pro bowl.
So, again, I think it all points to it being a very, very good game. You know?
And I kind of disagree with Paul. I think if they do pick up the blitz, I think Seattle has some chances against those Steeler cornerbacks.
I think the Steelers cornerbacks stink.
Right.
I mean, there's no two
obviously
ways about
if
it.
The
I just don't
Steelers,
think Seattle's
obviously
offense
if the
is
Steelers blitz, obviously if the Seahawks can't contain that, this game is over.
All right.
So
I think Seattle's offense is predicated on Alexander running the ball, and I don't think they'll be able to do that as successfully as they're accustomed to, and that's going to put it all on the receivers, and I just don't think they're that good.
Coaching matchup, Holmgren versus Cower, who gets the edge?
That's a wash.
Yeah.
I think they're both pretty good coaches, but I don't think either one
Holmgren.
Of them is great.
Big.
You give it to
Come
Holmgren.
On.
On a big game? Of course.
Okay, now.
Like the Super Bowl against Denver?
Hey, I'm just.
How'd he come up that day?
Well,
he was only a 2-touchdown favorite, and it was kind of hard to expect him to win that one.
By all reports, it's going to be pretty much a home game for the Steelers because I guess Detroit is just full of Steeler fans right now.
I want to go back to this, though. You really think that's a wash? I mean, you really think that's a huge edge for Holmgren?
No, I think Holmgren gets the edge, though.
Yeah, well, a huge edge, you said.
I'm just throwing
you know how he gets.
He doesn't mean half
is that one of those? Is that one of those, like,
actually,
Pittsburgh will beat San Diego?
Actually, I think Bill Cowher is a very good coach. He did some things in the past that have rubbed me the wrong way, and because of that, I'm taking out my frustrations out on him.
Rubbed you the wrong way or cost you money?
Rubbed me the wrong way.
Because I know how you are.
No, rubbed me the wrong way. I don't like him.
Those four losses at home,
that
you
like,
had big money on the Steelers
like
to roll.
I don't like his cocky attitude to the one Super Bowl he's been in his 105 chances that he's had. I don't like it. And I don't like them showing his wife every 3 seconds.
Well,
there, I said it.
Like,
there you go.
They won't.
That,
no, that's Holmgren's wife that's going to be an athlete.
Yeah, Holmgren's wife won't be there. She's on.
So then they'll have an excuse of why they only show Bill
Cowher.
Peace Corps
mission or something?
Yeah, it really grossed me out what the whole story was, actually. I'll tell you off the air. Did you read it?
No.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
That's a good question, though. When we went to the Super Bowl, where do the coaches' families sit for the Super Bowl? I don't think they get suites or anything like that.
I don't know. You guys stopped winning the Super Bowls when I arrived.
Coincidence?
I think
they're just in the stands.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you see Mike Tice signed on to join your boy in Jacksonville?
Now they just went down the tubes. Now they got Mike Tice and Dave Campo on that staff. Talk about a great coaching staff. That's my team that falls right down the tubes next year.
Let's get as many failed head coaches as Los Angeles Jaguars. Well, that could happen, too, because they're not doing very well in that market. They had to lower seat capacity at the stadium so they could get the games on TV.
One thing I do like is what the Redskins have been doing. I mean, you can say what you want about...
Another good signing with Jerry Gray as their secondary coach. He's, from what I've heard, a very good coach.
You know, and,
or just another volatile ego to go off.
But here's the thing, and I'm glad you brought that up because that's what I want to talk about. As opposed to Brian Billick being the head coach with too many chefs, I think Joe Gibbs is the type of head coach that can have those types of people on his staff.
But he's one of the egos because he always called the plays, and he's not going to anymore.
Who, Gibbs?
Saunders is
his
OC. Gibbs. No, I know, but just because you think you can do something in February doesn't mean you're going to handle it well in October when the guy calls something you don't like.
I don't worry about Joe Gibbs at all.
I think he can handle this kind of
stuff. We'll see.
Whereas
Joe Gibbs
Brian Billick
is so
can't.
Respected.
We'll see.
Speaking of ego, Mr. Ego hired Chris Palmer over there in Dallas. He's the quarterback's coach, which according to you would be good because he's good with Bledsoe.
I thought he was good with Bledsoe. Here's the thing.
They have no offensive coordinator. So when they're running draws on 3rd and 10 from the 20, I want everyone to know out there that's Bill Parcells calling that play. Sean Payton.
I read that Chris Palmer signed with New Orleans with Payton.
That was a false report.
I heard he's with Dallas.
The original thing was he was Dallas's offensive coordinator. Then it came out that he was going to sign with New Orleans.
No, I saw
not
Dallas
quarterback coach. He's the
quarterback coach.
I like that hire.
What about Eric Mangini hiring Schottenheimer's son? I always thought Schottenheimer's son was ripped as a guy who was only in football because of his dad.
Schottenheimer was ripped for bringing him in.
Was a different son?
I believe it was. This wasn't Kurt, was it?
I don't know.
It was Kurt Schottenheimer, I believe, that Marty was ripped in Washington for hiring him. He was evidently not experienced enough to be a defensive coordinator, I want to say, and people in Washington were all over Marty Schottenheimer for hiring his son.
And there's also reports out of New York I read that Mangini's already winning the power struggle and look for Bradway to be out by next year.
Right. That there's already
a
problem.
That's good for him because if he and Tenenbaum are as close as it's been reported and have a good relationship, that's a good strengthening.
You know, it's interesting because we never really got to know Mangini that well except for the limited exposure. He could be a complete hard ass for all we know behind closed doors.
Be.
You know, because we have this impression of he's a nice guy. We see him with his kid a lot, and he's a family guy.
I don't really have any impression, to be honest with you. That's all we see.
Well, I have one negative, and it was at training camp 2001, I think. And I was with Brian, actually, Brian Morey. And
who?
Brian Morey. Your best buddy.
Brian Morey is not walking through this door anytime soon.
Well, listen, he was in his typical pop-off fight with Lawyer Malloy and Ty Law in the tent. Remember how when players would come out early, they would sit in the tent? Do you remember that?
I was there when it happened.
Well, when he was going, and Brian, and they said, you know, they were going back and forth, and he said, no, I never played football. Did Eric Mangini? And they said, no, we don't listen to him either.
Right.
And I was like, ooh, that's not good.
I remember that.
We were in the tent, and those two used to like to come at training camp and sit in the tent while other guys were stretching out. They would just sit and watch, and Brian got in this whole thing, and they went to Brian and said, Brian, you never played the game. You don't know what you're talking about. And so Brian said, well, Eric didn't play either, which he did, but...
Well, he didn't play in the NFL.
And they said, well, we don't listen to him either. So
I don't like when players say... It's kind of like Willie McGinnis saying, tell Pease I'll try to make it to the meeting.
Right.
I don't like that stuff.
I get some free time.
I like a little bit of fear between the player-coach relationship.
Not at the pro level, my friend.
I got to run to Target. Tell Pease I'll get there if I can.
You don't know what he was talking about. Is this the last year for Willie McGinnis? I was thinking about that.
2005?
Yeah. Does he come back in 2006?
Depends how little he's willing to pay for.
He's everywhere in Detroit.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's promoting some...
is this 55 Entertainment thing?
What is the thing that he's promoting? Some charity event that he's promoting.
I think you'll kind of get the idea on that when you see who the Patriots sign. I mean, are they going to sign a Julian Peterson? Are they going to go that high up? Or are they going to settle for, like, an Antoine Peake, who me and Andy were talking about, like maybe a backup to McGinnis? So I think you'll get a good idea when that happens.
Do they take an inside or an outside linebacker first?
In the draft?
Yeah.
All depends.
They're taking a linebacker first.
I don't know.
I mean, if they're going to, between those two positions.
Outside linebacker.
I would have them taking Bobby Carpenter from Ohio State because he can play both. He's played inside and outside. He's big. Yeah. He's got the size
What's he like?
He's like 240-something.
Yeah, I mean, that's big enough.
He's like a Vrabel-type player.
I don't like the hair.
I
like it because he's white.
Well, they all did that, right? Didn't they all grow their hair? Yeah.
I don't like that look.
Well, he might cut it now.
Look like Tarzan. Play like Jane.
It was just, I don't mind it.
I don't care what you look like. If he can play,
yeah,
you can play.
Yeah, I don't care.
Andy Hart just did.
No, I actually kind of did like him. The first time I watched, everybody was, they were just going overboard on A.J. Hawk. And I'm watching, and every time I see a play, I'm like, this other guy that's playing next to him seems like he's just as good.
He is. I think he is just about as good.
But that other guy, who's the guy we like? Ahmad.
He's not in the draft.
He's not coming out?
No, he didn't declare.
Then I wait.
I think the inside linebackers are tough
plus Kirk Ferentz has a boy too.
In Belichick's system, because it's hard to project who can play, at 245, 250, take on the guards as, in the Patriots 3-4 set.
And cover.
Not a lot of people play that in
college.
How
hard is it?
Roman Pfeiffer went to it.
Chad Greenway.
Mike Vrabel went to it
with
10-12 years of NFL experience under his belt.
Experience doesn't give you the physical. It gives you the mental.
But if you don't have the physical and the mental, it makes it a little tougher.
The only inside backer they might
think
probably go after would be Chad Greenway if he fell, which he probably won't. But Andy probably doesn't like him either because he's white, too.
Hey, this isn't my theory.
How long is his hair?
It's short. He's from Iowa.
I'll take him.
He's a forensic
I'll take
guy.
A Kirk Ferentz boy any
That's
day of the week.
That's not my theory, by the way. That's
over
Belichick's
a Jim Tressel boy.
On the
I don't like him.
Why
he's a
hasn't
shady
liked
character.
Linebackers in college. It's hard to project at the size because so many guys in college now are 220.
Laurie, who do you like?
225.
You know,
and they're real athletes. How many linebackers have you seen them in college? They safety and linebacker seems to be
69.
An interchangeable spot now for the NFL and the pros. Guys that played safety and they're making linebackers. Guys that played linebacker, they're making safeties.
What about Ryan Claridge? Is he going to be a factor? Is he going to come back?
Who knows? I don't know anything about
him. Found it very strange that we did not see him once all year after he was placed on IR. Found that very strange. For a young guy, you would think they would do him good to be in meetings and part of the NFL experience, learning to become an NFL player even if he couldn't play. And we didn't see him once.
That is very interesting. So
it's weird.
Weird.
What about Eric Alexander?
That was really interesting.
He's going to Europe.
No, he's not.
What?
Claridge, he would be eligible for Europe, right? But they didn't send him. So that is strange.
They didn't send too much, Fred.
That is strange.
They didn't send a lot.
No.
Ray Ventrone.
Ray Ventrone was the only guy that was on the roster last year that they sent, right?
Hmm.
I mean, practice squad or regular roster. Everybody else is
future.
Wasn't even here. There were futures contracts.
Well, Roll was here in training camp and then was gone.
Right. So,
there's not a lot of Patriot. Yeah, we didn't get the I was hoping that we'd get like a Glamour, a P.K. Sam.
I held out hope for Matt Castle.
Matt Castle.
I was not expecting him to go, but I was holding out hope for it, just to have a skill position guy that you could kind of monitor.
So why wouldn't they send these guys?
I think they want Castle here in the system now because I think it shows how much they actually like him by not sending him.
Right. I totally agree.
Right.
And this might be P.K. Sam's last hurrah, too.
He's gone.
Well, P.K. Sam has not been
signed. Goodbye.
He's the only guy in the practice squad
Speaking
that was not
Speaking
of
your
NFL so
insider from New Bedford, he said they've decided to go separate ways.
He's done.
Yeah.
What does that mean for Bethel Johnson?
Absolutely nothing.
But I got a feeling they're going to decide to go separate ways, too.
Well, I mean, maybe he just lucks out and gets a roster spot because they have no wide receivers, but I think that they're on the lookout for a lot of wide receivers.
You know, you could say that, top, 7, 8 receivers they had in the system last year, they could be, down to 2.
Yeah.
Easily.
And I got to be honest, if you can't go out and find a guy to do more than Bethel Johnson, you're just not trying hard enough.
He does have amazing speed.
I think they've been intrigued by his speed, and I think you can get that anywhere.
Well, I don't know about that.
Anywhere.
Not anywhere.
Not anywhere.
You ain't got it with Andre Davis.
He's not Bethel Johnson.
Yes, he is.
No, he isn't.
Yes, he
I don't think he's as fast.
No way.
I'll take
Bethel. We're not running the 100-yard dash.
No, but from 0 to 50, man, Bethel Johnson's unbelievable.
What has he ever done besides
win, lose, no matter?
He's done some things. He just doesn't do them consistently.
He made an impact in my opinion.
That gets you kicked out of the NFL, Fred. I'm sorry.
In his rookie year.
I mean, hey, Dan Klecko's funny, but telling knock-knock jokes isn't going to get you a spot on the roster.
Easy. Okay. That's Fred's boy. Easy.
Let's see. Scott says, every now and then over the past few minutes, I hear this soft giggle.
Dan Klecko.
I forgot Lori had come in for a minute, and there I thought maybe Tom was taking that whole Brokeback Mountain intrigues me thing a little too seriously.
Well, hey, if you guys are all afraid to watch the movie, I'll watch it, and I'll come back with a report.
See, now there you are with that afraid word again. Now, what would make you think I'm afraid of that?
I don't know.
Just because it doesn't interest me means I'm afraid of it? Because
you get cooties.
I think you're a little afraid of it.
Not in the least.
You might be a little homophobe.
Maybe it's frightening. I'll let you know if I have to turn it off.
Not in the least. Does it frighten me at all?
No?
Are you into it?
That whole term, homophobia.
Have you ever?
I don't get it. Why would you be afraid?
Because there's some guys that are afraid to get near that because maybe something will come out. I don't mind getting near it. I mean, you know.
Just because I'm not interested doesn't mean I'm afraid.
I will say this. I don't want to see two guys French kiss.
Hey,
that doesn't do it for me.
I don't know.
It's a great place to go. Why haven't you ever been to Provincetown?
Well, I've never been to Aruba either. I'm sure that's a great place to go.
But it's where?
Aruba.
This is right around the corner, basically.
Right around the corner? What do you mean? It's way down the end of the Cape.
Yeah, well, the Cape is within the same state that you live in now.
So I've never been to Springfield either. That's within the same state.
That's even a lot.
I guess I'm afraid of that.
No, but I mean, it's a.
I've heard about.
I have Springfieldophobia.
I've heard about Springfield. You should be afraid.
The Basketball Hall of Fame is there. Why wouldn't you go there? It's a great place. Guess I'm afraid.
I heard it's one of the worst cities in America to live in. Well, watch Brokeback Mountain. Prove us wrong.
That'll break down all the barriers.
Let me ask you a question. Would you ever go to Provincetown? You know, with Beth to go shopping.
I don't know anything about it.
That's a place to go for shopping. Sure, why not?
Okay. Town.
You wouldn't be afraid to go
there. I've been to San Francisco.
Oh, you have been?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was fine.
You never left the hotel,
I just
though,
didn't I feel real crisp.
Went out a little bit.
You said I was afraid.
I was afraid. I didn't want to be violated.
Oh, boy. We have fun.
Last 10 minutes, we're really struggling for material.
Webradio@patriots.com is email address.
Why'd we go to 2 hours again in the offseason?
Wait a minute. Next issue of PFW is coming out next week. What do you got? You got some awards coming
season
out?
Review.
Whoa,
yeah,
hey.
Big time season review. We have the postseason awards. We have a good look at free agency. We have Tom put together his all free agent team, guys available. I broke down all our current free agents and kind of assessed the signability, for lack of a better word. What else we have? All opponent team. Look at all the players that we felt had the best years against the Patriots last year. And something that everybody will look forward to, a look back at our picks from the beginning of the season to see how bad we all
did.
Do I have
to do that?
Yeah, you're going to
Why do you tell me now? Why can't you tell me earlier?
It's not done yet.
Still have 3 days.
The last minute.
Why? It's Wednesday, Fred. We're not printing until next week.
Friday will be like, Fred, you got to fill this in.
You don't have to do it Friday. You can do it next Monday if you want to.
Right, you got to call somebody to get the answers from somebody else like you did
Fred's
on the awards?
Fred's just so busy, Laura. You know, he can't take 5 minutes to go say, I messed up all my picks. I thought
actually,
the Patriots going to win every game.
Well, right? Didn't I?
No.
And this edition is going to be on a podcast today.
I was just going to say a couple announcements. The podcast for PFW in Progress starts this week, so if you were waiting for that, you can get it now. And we're going to have other material available in podcast coming soon.
And next week on podcast, you'll have a review of Bareback Mountain.
Okay.
Oh,
Brokeback.
It's Brokeback.
It's Brokeback Mountain.
whatever the gay cowboy
will. Bareback.
That's what they do afterwards. Also.
That's what they do afterwards.
Also, Paul, you might be interested in this. The alumni
club. Better not have anything to do with Brokeback Mountain.
The alumni club is having a fantasy camp in Sanibel Harbor Resort in Florida.
That was really interesting.
Through 6th.
Nice.
It's going to be a great thing. Grogan, Tippett, Nelson, Capoletti, Pete Brock, they're all going to be there.
It's going to be a great time.
You can sign up for that off of Patriots.com. The first annual, hopefully, fantasy camp. And it's going to be awesome. They're using the Twins locker room at Fort Myers. That's where they're going to have the locker room area.
This is a full contact camp?
No.
I was going to
flag football.
How does this work in football?
Yeah. They're going to have the Sanibel Harbor Resort, which is like a 5-star resort.
So football is going to be like on the bottom of the rung of things to do. It's eating,
it's
drinking,
mostly,
hanging out with Andre
Tippett.
Yeah,
exactly, hanging out. But they will have, you know, every day they'll go out and they'll play football and they'll have probably a big game at the end. The Patriots cheerleaders will be there doing the photo shoot.
Should we cover it?
We're doing our cover
it? Do we need to cover this?
Yeah, sounds like something
should
we
cover
should
this?
At.
So check it out on Patriots.com. That's coming up in June, but you got to sign spread up the now. Because
sending
obviously
us to the combine on a raft.
They can't take everyone. The space is limited.
Going to shantytown.
And the hotel itself is just awesome. Bring your wife. It's got like the full spa and everything.
I'm going. I didn't know I could bring my wife.
Full spa and the whole thing. So
love it. Can we go if we don't bring our wives?
We'll like it down there.
See
you. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Remember, you can get this on the podcast now, and we'll see you next Wednesday.